This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is 7 o'clock Arizona time. This is Clayton McKee alongside this week. You remember her from last week. It's Kat Carlson sitting in for Katie June.
Repeat performance. Thank you.
Command. Oh, almost a command performance.
She's sitting in front of a queen. That's really all you need. It's not about the repeating.
It's my encore presentation.
There you go.
It went so well last week. Katie had her daughter, Palmer's
birthday.
And
Literally today. I think I was the only one that realized that the show was her daughter's birthday. As last month, she was like, I know something else is going to come up in September. And I'm like, your daughter's birthday is, I don't know her name, but I know her birthday is September 2nd.
Right.
And it's a Tuesday.
The Tuesday, yeah. Well, so she had that, even though she celebrated all weekend with the child, which was still fine. But surprise to her, her parents then showed up with all of these free tickets for the family. Well, somebody paid for them, but I mean, tickets for them to go. They are at the Mercury game tonight for playoffs. And we were lucky because if Kat could have scored two more to make a complete foursome, she wouldn't have been here either. She'd have been ditching us for...
And I wouldn't have been nearly so kind as to call at 8 a.m. I'd have called at 4:30 and been like, nope, sorry, got tickets.
Yeah, I've got to go.
I'll download you later.
Yeah, exactly. While driving from my North Scottsdale home to work, as she does every week. Anywho, Al Perkins is here, who is a little under the weather, but he has endeavored to persevere with strong coffee and medication.
Yes.
Both things.
I am brought to you by a lovely mix of drugs and this coffee.
I admire your dedication, Fine.
He is. He always ever wanted us a talk show in his entire life, so he's not going to miss the opportunity to let 3 hours of him influencing people go by.
And I've basically been on 3 days of vocal rest, so I'm ready to go.
And Marty Ryer is jettisoning across town in her Subaru, trying to get to us stopped by a traffic light. I'm not sure where the hell she is, but she did text say she's going to be tardy, and I was like, and I'm not surprised.
And we'll be okay.
Never really. Oh, Drew is in the... My mom, Drew, Marnie's girl, Aaron, and Tomo. Good day, Tomo, to you.
Hello.
Our listener from New Zealand every week. Thank you for listening, Tomo. How are things in the old... What do you call it? The old NZ? The old New Zealand? I don't know what you call it.
Sure, I would know what you meant if you said NZ, I think.
The old NZ? I don't know. We'll figure out.
I would try to use visual clues.
Yeah, so, the continent for which you live.
Blue Bleeland.
I don't know.
You know, the worst part is I say that shit all the time. Like, well, my mouth is making all the same noise as yours is.
The words seem to be right. I don't know. By the way, for those of you listening and don't know, this is Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014, show number 180, which means we've accomplished 117 of these goddamn things in the 2 years plus we've been on.
That's magical.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
And do you know what this week also is? This is the very week, the anniversary of us moving from Studio B to Studio C. We've been here in this palatial bedroom.
Well, happy anniversary.
Which is what it actually
old room, right?
It was a garage originally the house that they added on and it became a bedroom and now here we are. So
fantastic.
There's so many things going on in this room. Heaven yes. But here we are.
Very busy.
It's lovely. Kitty Cat, my dear.
Meow.
How have you what have you done since your debut with us last week? So much, right. I'm sure. The accolades have been pouring in. And
let me tell you, I've had to hire security.
Oh, my God. Welcome to my life.
Her son thinks she's famous. She was telling me
it's true.
Earlier.
It's true. Yeah. The eldest, the 9-year-old, thinks that I'm just incredibly famous because he's been to a few events, and we run into a lot of people. He just kind of rolls his eyes now when we run into someone.
She knows somebody else.
He's like, who's that? I'm like, just a friend, because odds are I may not be able to remember their name.
Oh, you're just me now. That's all it is.
Me too. Sweetie, honey, darling.
Everything I've always wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone's sweetheart.
Right.
But I end up stopping in our daily routine and talking to people from time to time.
Want you to or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I flag them down. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Hey.
Hey, KJ.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Wrong one.
KC would work.
Oh, whatever.
And the Sunshine Band.
How are you doing?
Gotcha.
Good. Good. How are you?
Lovely.
Have a seat. Welcome. Yeah, welcome. There's that. Please come make yourself at home.
Pretend it's your studio.
I know. Oh, okay. Anytime you like. Just turn come that, on. Just wander off. In.
There's that.
How are you,
Hanson? Oh. Very well. How about you?
Good. Thank you.
He's surviving. We're all here.
Good.
Yes. I was just telling, well, before we got into her story, I was just reminding everybody this is our 1 year anniversary here in Studio C. Okay. It's been a whole year of convenience and, okay. and a kitchen that's right next door that is mostly usable.
Mostly,
not all. But Kat, so now I'm going to guess the 9 year old is not permitted to listen to the podcast.
No, you know what? Last week they listened for like the first couple of minutes, and then we started talking about home delivery pot, and Sharon said, no, maybe we should turn this off. Maybe we don't need you going to your father's house talking about Kat delivering pot for a living.
Wow. That's true.
Yeah. Could become an issue. But yeah, I think last year's Dancing with the Bars sealed the deal in my fame in his mind.
Okay.
Because of the spotlight and the stage.
Right.
And
dancing
the,
you know,
the, oh, exactly.
Yeah, that was the biggest event he'd ever been to in his life. And he was just like, Kat is famous.
She never dresses up at home.
Yeah. I don't know what this is, but she's famous. This is why she knows all these people. So now I'm on the radio as far as he's concerned.
Right, right.
Yeah, and he's very excited for me.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
that was nice.
I'm glad. So when he's 25 and you permit him to actually listen to these podcasts.
Probably never.
Okay, well, I'm just guessing.
I'm with Katie June. Like, no, the kids don't need to ever hear these.
Yeah. But you realize at some point.
I haven't embarrassed myself yet, but yeah, I mean, there's time.
There's time. I mean, you're going 2 weeks now, so let's see. And we're just starting, so you have no idea what's going to happen.
And I've got a full six pack in the fridge. So
yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Ready.
Plus more that you left last week. Which I was telling, I think it was a plan, you know, and she brought this up, you know, on a first date where you might leave, you know, your watch or a key or a book at your somebody at a date's house. Oh, can I swing by and grab that?
Sure.
Well, she left three beers.
Yeah, so, sure. Can I swing by and drink those?
Actually, I
on Tuesday night between 7 and 10.
1 hour.
I actually find it fairly tacky to, like, pull your beer back out of the cooler at the party. So oh, I just, no. I always.
We're I do that here. With wine now, though.
Sure.
Because I'll always assess the crowd. Like, is anyone going to enjoy this as much as I am? No,
no.
It's coming home with me.
Right.
It's got to go.
This is a $20 bottle of wine. Fuck you.
Either I'm embarrassed of the beer selection I've made, right. or
oh, no.
I really like
and
it.
And I've never pulled a punch. If somebody, you know, if it's a BYOB and they're like, well, I'm going to BYOB back because I'm not leaving that bottle of Crown with you. Because, no, it's not going to work.
Sure.
No. I'll probably dump
No, and I would go with that. Like, Crown or certain wines like that. But
it's
not
different
beer.
Rules in
not
beer. Yeah.
Beers
yeah.
are different.
Beers are different.
Thing. Got it.
I had a friend once that came to a party and brought, you know, came in, did not have a cooler, but brought like a 24 pack of Miller Lite in cans.
Was it me?
No.
Oh.
Why do I feel like you know who it is, though? I feel like
no,
actually, why do I feel like I was at that party?
I'm sure. You may have been
at that party.
Did it end in the pool?
Yes.
All right.
But they all almost all do.
Yeah, that's true.
But
she has
it
a
was
pool.
So funny because all of a sudden she had kept the 24-pack case thing after putting it in the cooler.
Uh-huh.
And then we saw her putting them back
taking
in the
back
taking
out.
That Miller Lite back
and
home.
We all just kind of sat there with our mouth hanging.
Now, was
like,
it Miller Lite? What are we packing back here?
Taking the Miller Lite and
right.
putting it
now,
back
Miller
in
Lite,
the...
No. You leave that shit.
You leave it.
That's
you
almost
leave
like it. Bringing water to a party.
Exactly. And it's not that I... You must keep the Miller Lite. I mean, that's good for brats. And and I'm going to drink it also.
Well, sure.
But
right.
you just don't take that back.
Right.
And it's in a can.
Yeah.
There you have that.
Yeah, I know. I'm on.
No, my thing is only with if I like to one of your parties. I brought and then I got fucking snagged into a gift exchange I didn't know about.
I do not do those.
I'm still bitter about losing that bottle of wine. We had to take a picture of it, and I went and bought it and drank it here on the air. Because I was so bitter about losing that bottle of wine. Oh, you brought that for the gift exchange? Fuck you! Hands off Christmas.
See, I would have totally, and I looked at him. I go, why didn't you say something? I would have given you like one of the umpteen bottles I have.
And we came with a gift for her. We brought
it was
like
lovely,
yeah.
And I still have it, waiting to drink it together.
What do you mean?
Show up here with it.
Well, no, because Doug Wilkie's not.
It's from me. I picked it out.
Oh, all right.
No, Doug.
She'll never know.
Well, the Wilk is the one that's yeah. where we learned about the whole thing about extra dry champagne means sweet,
which is the strangest thing.
In the
world.
Oh, it certainly is.
Mm-hmm. So I'm
brut means dry, extra dry means sweet. Wait, what kind of fucking world do we live in, people? Dogs
tomato,
and cats
tomato.
Living together.
You've been alone for 3 days, haven't
yeah,
you?
A little too much.
I can tell. Al is really on the edge, and he's not drinking at all because he's on medication and he's
steroids,
pent up energy,
literally steroids.
I expect you to walk in a little more bloated, maybe today.
No.
I don't know what.
Oh no, we're having because it says right on there. If you start to overeat like a fucking pig, I'm like, how would I know the difference?
We'll be able to
mood
tell.
Swings again. Who would know?
We'll be able to tell.
Menopause.
If he starts like chewing on the microphone and like, you get very hungry.
I got salads and oatmeals and fresh fruits and stuff like that. Good. I tried to like stock the cupboards
Came
with.
That down.
Yeah.
Good.
I also unfroze some Christmas candy.
Now we're talking.
It's smart to do.
Just from last year?
Just exactly. Made a bowl of popcorn.
Oh, you got those.
Somebody on the TV made popcorn, and I almost jumped through it. Like, I'm going to need that.
You had in your freezer those little chocolate things we brought you. Was it last year? I don't know if you even realize they're in your door.
Oh, the magic things?
Yes.
Oh, I brought those to work 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
they were gone in a second and a half. Where were those from?
I got them from some gift box I got from somewhere, and I don't know how. It had coffee in it and tea and some other bullshit, and the chocolates wound up at your house. But the only reason I did this, because my OCD kicks in, while you were gone and I was house-sitting and checking things, I emptied all of your ice, so all fresh new ice would be made. And
that's right.
And the iceberg was then gone.
Yeah.
It was in there. It drives me crazy. These things bother me immensely.
Yeah,
and we still have to order the goddamn handle for your microwave.
Oh, yeah. And you got to take a look at whatever that thing is missing on the crap thing on my sewer drain in my backyard. Because that's freaking me out.
Look, he thinks Nessie's going to come up out of there and attack
him.
Oh, no, but Justin was like, that's got to be covered.
Oh, okay.
He's like,
Justin said it. That's our exterminator.
Yeah, the exterminator was like, that's got to go. After the great cockroach tragedy of last week.
He explained this whole story to me. It was fantastic. Anywho.
Oh, so like the size of bears.
In his bathroom.
Oh, my God.
In the bathroom.
Yes.
And they appeared. All I did was go to get a glass. I realized as I was getting in the tub, I didn't have a glass of water. Walked to the kitchen, came back. You know how you're like looking at shadows? And usually in my house it's a feather. Because they have those fucking feather stuffed everythings.
Boas.
So there's giant.
That's what I was thinking.
Sadly, no. I think there is something still boa-ish in the one closet. But everything else is coming out of the pillows. But there's been a few times where I've screamed and tried to move because I thought it was a cockroach and it was a feather.
Right.
But this time it was not. And it was a cockroach. And then I like scrubbed my house down like a mad woman. Yeah. And then.
Yeah, like a silkwood shower for the house.
Oh, yeah. Then I went and got in the shower and realized there was one like right above me. And I was done. So we cleaned the bathroom again. That house has been CLR'd within an inch of its life. People.
I feel like I'm going to start my rocking and the ticking and everything.
Count
the toothpicks, Marnie. Count the toothpicks.
Seriously, thank you. That's a really good call.
You have no idea how close I came to. Like,
focus. Yeah. I lose my shit. I can't. Di had gone to bed. This was years ago. And I'm sitting
Has she
there.
Been upset?
No, yeah. She has, yes. This part happened years
Sleeping
ago.
Sleeping Beauty is your
And
mother.
I go in, well, because she's the
butch
one.
The dog went to the farm.
No, she's the butch one in the family. She's the boss.
I've met her.
Totally, right?
I've met her.
And I went to scoop up some dog food to not feed her, because she had gone to bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But to feed the dogs.
She gets the moist stuff.
So
she was no longer hungry.
And I go to dump it in there, and something just crawls on my hand. That went well. That went real well. It was a gecko.
Okay.
Went real well. I screamed so loud, jumped up on a chair, stood in the middle of the room and just screamed, because that's all that I could do. And I'm not very handy when it comes to getting rid of those kind of things. She
flies out of
bed.
You just can't. You just have to. You just put a leash on them, walk them occasionally.
Right. And there's nothing. But if no one's there, now it becomes a different story. And I forgot the flash forward. Like, I stood on top of this chair just screaming until she finally woke up, which maybe 15 minutes. Screaming. I was not getting down. I kept my eye on that little son of a bitch. And
you little bastard!
I'm going to get you. No, she will. Anyway, so.
You wait until my mom gets up.
I know. That's right. I'm telling my mom can beat up your cockroach dad.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting. I now kind of have my office in the living room, and flash forward a couple of years, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and I have a little dog named Little, and I thought it was her running past. No, it was a cockroach,
the size of a dog,
the size of a small dog, and it ran forward. See out of the corner of my eye.
That's a beetle. Then when they're that.
No, it wasn't actually. Oh. It was a cockroach, and it ran back. Di was working nights, so I stood there and screamed. And then, honest to God, I'm like, fuck it. Where are they when you need them? And I had to get down and take care of it myself.
Yeah.
It made me so sad. And no, I don't feel like I can do it again.
Well,
it's not like it built me up that I can, like, now I have the strength.
They have a tolerance.
Well, I've completely made my peace with geckos because I've been in Arizona long enough that they're just everywhere. And you just, oh, well, hi. You know.
Right.
Yeah, here we are.
But they shock you.
Another lovely evening. Well, yeah, when they, and then the baby one that you realize, okay, there's a whole fucking family in here now.
Sure.
But the first cockroach that I spotted was dead. So that was an easy one. You know, I got the dustpan
dust
and
buster.
I put it in the toilet, flushed it down, waved by, you know, beautiful song I hummed. Second one still alive and looking at me. So that one was like dustpan, a magazine, sprayed down with CLR and soft scrub with bleach,
a little
toilet bowl cleaner, and then it had the Viking funeral because I lit it on fire.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to see
fumes and
flames and everything.
Because now they'll swim back up, and then down the toilet.
Why do you keep using CLR, calcium, lime, and rust to clean?
Because it was there, and it sounds toxic. It had two things going for it. It was within reach, and it sounds toxic. Well, no, I did have a rust thing. I left to avoid bugs. While I was on vacation for 3 weeks, I left the plug in the drain, and it caused it to rust around the drain. Looked rusty when I was spitting out my toothpaste. So I got the CLR to like scrub out with an old toothbrush.
Okay,
but you only need like a quarter of an ounce, and it comes in a gallon jug. Mm-hmm. So the rest was for bug killing.
I have the utmost of respect for you.
Oh, that thing
as
went
long
down.
As it works.
Oh my God,
utmost of respect.
The rest,
because you can never sit on the toilet again, because you know that thing is going to climb right back up.
Exactly, and you sit there and you're like, when? Just when?
Just when?
Mm-hmm.
When will I feel the gentle tickle?
Yeah. When will I see you again?
I guess part of me doesn't think about it much because I grew up on a farm and there were all kinds of things in the barn and around. I didn't care. And then I have two cats that generally they bring stuff in.
Occasionally,
I'll find a little something and it'll be dead and dried out and flat. But it was a gecko. But you know they've played.
I made my peace with it. My thing is the. And we don't have them in the part of New York that I'm from. We don't have the cockroaches.
You're talking about the sewer roaches, the big ones.
The big.
Not the little ones that just run across your counter. We're talking about the big ones that you want to take your car. No, I'm not. Yeah.
I'd prefer the big ones to the little ones any day.
Well, the little ones, you know there's a problem somewhere else.
There's a bigger problem.
That's like a. Yeah. They're called like tea roaches.
It's called Champagne Nasty House.
No. It's actually, it's like tea roaches or.
It's called Find the Dirt because something's wrong.
You can bring them home. You can bring them home from the grocery store.
Oh, I know.
That's the problem that I have.
I used to work a job where I was cleaning those houses. No.
Yeah, and not just and when they're in
Amazon will deliver them by drone.
And then because I worked in a restaurant when we would bomb, and especially the one restaurant was kind of by the canal.
And that doesn't mean just go over very poorly that evening.
No,
not just that kind of a bomb.
But both places that I worked that had food and liquor were on either side of the canal in Scottsdale. So when you got sprayed, you would have the cockroach run
from one side.
Afterwards, but they would all go to die, and you'd have like a little swarm up the wall because of the. Oh. It was all canal based, but like that. So that's why when I get sprayed at home, I'm like. Warrior, like I, you know, lights come on. I've got armor to go into any room. It doesn't happen. Every once in a while, you'll find a dead something. But oh my God, that used to terrify me.
I have CLR. Hear me roar. No cockroach to ignore. Jesus.
Well, that's awesome. charming. Well,
that was a great story.
Oh,
so, Kat, you've touched stardom. You're in the middle of payroll, Marnie.
Stardom.
Yeah, payroll.
Harrison is checking her ice in her freezer to make sure it's not stale. Tomo agrees.
Stale
ice is no good.
Okay.
No bueno.
No bueno.
It doesn't last long enough in this household because I'm drinking mugs after mug after mug of water all day long and all night long. So I do it. I go through a lot of ice.
Yeah, except for here, I don't put ice in my water.
Well, it's pure.
But then again, I'm like the little girl from Signs. I have glasses of water all over the house. Like you go from room to room, and there's a glass of water. Which is why it's amazing that I left the bathroom because there wasn't a glass of water stationed there.
Yeah.
There's one near my bed. There's one near the table. There's one in the kitchen.
I don't know why. I find it funny that he's going to take a bath and soak, but he's going to be there long enough that he fears dehydration, so he has water.
I have a glass of wine in there. Mm-hmm. I have a cup of coffee. I have my glass of water. I have something to read.
God
I have the
damn.
Music set up. We're staying. We're
yeah.
just, it's not about getting clean. We're going to do that after.
I don't understand.
It's about
baths.
Soaking. Oh, it's because you've not done it right. You
oh no! I feel.
That sounds like conversion therapy, right
yeah,
there.
Right. I don't know what to do with that. I feel good not swimming in my own swell. I just want to get in.
It's
shower,
not your
get
own
out.
Swell. It's
I have
very
things
expensive,
very busy.
Imported lotions. Well, see, that's where you have to unwind and relax.
Have you met me?
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's I'd be in there like. Pah! and water just got on my book, and I spilled my wine in there, and the whole thing. Yeah. It just stresses me out, right. Even thinking about
it. At Entertainment Weekly, I can read the whole magazine in the bath, and then sing a little. We float, we drink the coffee, we move on to wine.
I drown. Mm-mm.
Yeah, Whitney Houston, thought it went real good for her.
I'm still here.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon.
Oh, no. It's never too soon.
Never too soon.
Ray J doesn't think so.
He's been arrested for many other
times.
Things.
Multiple
yes,
times.
Since.
Molly, could
times.
You get on that, please? The T-Rex warning system.
So, and I have so many people say that, like, oh, I can't take a bath. It's soaking in my own filth. I'm like, it's really, I try to be a kind of clean when I mean, I didn't just come out of the field when I went in the bathtub.
Right.
No, I just don't. I've never understood that.
When and as long as I've known him, he's never been a homeless man. So I, no. You know, he bathes regularly.
But I do, and that's one of the only things that I shop for anymore is like bath salts, soaps, bath bombs, anything like really luxurious and smelly that makes your
lovely.
Skin feel nice.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Now I know who to re-gift to this holiday season.
I need a bell, please. Where's my bell?
Is it's right. It's on the other side of your iPad.
So much is happening. I have too many Apple products.
I'm crowded you, haven't
Thank you. No, not even a little bit. No, this is perfect. I'm good.
No, you're good. You're not invading space.
Yeah, not even a little bit.
No, she's good.
There you go. T-Rex can't get it. Molly, I'll now is Molly feeling better? Molly, are you home? Where are you, darling?
I think she's home. She was discharged, I think, yesterday, she said.
Oh, okay.
And they have no idea what the fuck's wrong with her. Similar to your case, Marnie, from years ago. There was issues, and they had no idea. I don't know what the hell.
Well, I felt for you. I understood your MRI Ativan analogy beautifully. I got that one.
I don't know.
MRIs are horrible, and you're in that loud clanging noise, but then sometimes they'll give you the Ativan to take the edge off so you don't come out of your own skin in the clanging box.
Okay.
And it works. I just have to tell your medical professional that you have anxiety and claustrophobia, and just go through a list of things that sound like anxiety until they give you enough drugs to put you in that box.
All of the things you said to get your pop prescription.
Yeah,
say that.
Say all the same things that got you the pot prescription. But don't bring the pot, because you do not want to get paranoid when your head's in a cage in a banging box. No, it's bang, 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 bang. Honest to God, it's like a hammer on a drum. I made it through the first three, no problems. The fourth one, I thought the room was on fire, and I had a complete and total panic attack. And me and my doctor...
But more of the claustrophobia or the noise?
Everything.
Yeah.
It all went wrong. It all fell apart. And
Molly, Ativan is my jam!
Damn. Oh, yeah. Atta girl. I hear ya.
No, I will not disagree with that one.
Did you have a head one, though?
I had like that, you have to like go in and
Oh, you see, mine was just the head. So they just kept you in that box for like an hour and 15 minutes with the banging. And I was convinced the building was on fire and they'd all left me there.
What's the building? What's the banging?
It's the
rotating magnet, and it just clangs and you're
clang, 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 clang goes the tray.
And your head's in a cage. Okay. Your head's still.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got this cage around your head and you're trapped in this banging box, and it takes way too long. And they do things like, are you okay in there? Like, they do gentle things. Like, turn up the fucking music!
Are you okay in
and
there?
And then they took me out, and they were like, we're going to give you drugs for the rest of this. I'm like, that's a good idea.
I told you in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. No, I actually didn't.
I just came in for a teeth cleaning. Gas me!
Yeah. And that's what brought me back to that. Like, I don't care what you're doing. Exactly. Let's get drugs
on
board.
Yeah.
There'll be no heroes in this room.
Mom. I'm sorry that you had to... I didn't realize the MRI thing.
Tom was like, those sedatives cause a lot of people to babble incoherently and not remember doing it.
Amen.
No, he's not on it now, Tom.
It is also called Tuesday Nights in Phoenix.
So Tom was a long-time listener.
Very, very long-time listener. Yes. But we haven't been able to get him in studio yet because it's really a long flight. And
somebody needs to up the budget.
But, yeah.
We need a budget.
Yeah.
Start.
That, right.
Number two, I can't
You
just...
know you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
Oh, Molly,
your check isn't
what?
Just in the mail still from last week.
I gotta go.
Washcloth over my eyes like I was being waterboarded. Oh, Molly. Well, I hope you're feeling better.
She's working tonight. Good for her. She's a trooper.
Atta girl. Yeah. I go back to work tomorrow.
Do they know it?
Yeah, no. I think they do now.
And by the way, for those of you, we keep joking in regards to it's a miracle that Al's even here. He has been, if you care to share, you had
I had the tonsillitis, and I got new respect for 5-year-olds that go through that shit because
not okay.
That was ugly.
So what's painful. What is the plan here aside from you continuing your regimen on steroids and other drugs?
Yes, and no, the doctors don't even care to see me till I finish the antibiotics. There's no follow up, and I'm like, well, that time I won't even remember that I was in pain because even now I'm like, well, I think I was faking it. I don't remember being in that much pain.
Oh, you were dramatic on Sunday or Saturday or whatever day it was I drove you around.
It's really kind of overwhelming. Like, I have a long history of tonsillitis and strep throat. It really just is all consuming.
Then why
I totally,
do you still have them?
Because my mother believed that they were there for a reason.
Okay, no, same thing.
And would not take them out.
No, but my question is, you continue to have these issues?
Well, sure. Why am I going to have somebody cut into my throat now?
No. But why would you not get rid of them now? Like, he's just experienced hell on earth. Why would?
But I have the same thing.
Because it's so occasional. Like, at this point, I'm not going through surgery for all of that.
That's like, exactly what I said. I'm like, because in 7 days...
It's like every 2 years, maybe.
Yeah. If Sunday morning, when I was trying to, like, go into the back of my throat with a steak knife and a Roomba myself, if you would offer me surgery that day, oh, hell's bells. Sure. Let's get in there. Let's take them
out.
I'd
be like, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what my insurance or lack thereof.
But
whatever.
Now Tuesday, I'm like, yeah, they're staying. And by next Tuesday, I won't even remember that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I think I was in pain last week sometime, but I don't know.
But yeah, at the time when they were yanking everyone's tonsils, my mother was like, mm-mm, they're there for a reason. You leave them there.
Yeah, no. that was
thank God my mom was like, let's get them the hell out of here. We're going to be done with this.
When but my mom used to lie to me and say it was strep throat. I didn't.
Right.
And then I realized the other day that I'm like, oh,
well, I felt this before.
I've had this tonsillitis business before. Like, this was not strep. And they did I was really impressed. The rat, what are they called?
Quick, urgent care.
Urgent care. Did a rapid strep culture so they could rule that out. I was shocked by the rapid strep culture.
Yeah, they do that now. In going back in,
I wanted a flu swab too because I was.
Oh, I didn't know that they could do that.
I was because I was not a well woman and I was like, I have a temperature and I'm sore all over
happening.
And like, yeah, let's check for the flu too.
Sure.
When I went to the dentist just last week, they did the whole full exam thing and everything else, and when I opened wide, he goes, "Oh my God, your tonsils are huge," and I sat there and I'm like. Yep, got me out of a lot in high school, junior high, elementary, because I'd be like, my throat's really sore. And then the nurse would be my God.
Well, because nobody ever looks at them when they're healthy. So they just see, like, the enlarged, I have the same thing. They just see the enlarged tonsils, and they're like, yeah, maybe you better
I know,
go.
I'd be like, I gotta go home. Luke and Laura are getting married this week. That's where I found out my tonsils came in real handy. That whole week in, 81, I think?
And I knew I was in trouble when I tried to eat something when I got home Saturday morning. And I couldn't chew with the right side of my mouth, and I couldn't move my tongue over there to move the food over.
Oh, no.
I was spitting. I'm like, I might have to go to the hospital because I think I'm losing my ability to, like, protect my airway.
I don't know how people
look like that. And I walk in, and I was so relieved because I was like, I shouldn't be driving because I took 1,200 or 1,400 of Advil.
Zero.
I took 2 Percocets. And I honestly was hallucinating, but I'm like, we're going. Yeah. We're going to the urgent care after I, like, called work to find out where there was an urgent care or where was the nearest hospital. And I get there. There was no one in the waiting room, thank God. And me and the lady are talking, and she's like, you don't look good. I'm like, you know, I really don't feel well. And then I texted him. I'm like, when they release me from here, I don't think I should be operating a car much longer.
Can you take me to get prescriptions? I'm like, sure I can. Thinking we're just going to hop over to Walgreens. Right. Oh, no.
It was a whole thing. And then people were like, oh, drink hot beverages, hot as you can. I got a hot glass of tea. And when I got out of the car, I'm like, you take this fucking cup of tea and you shove it up your ass.
it
hurts
even more.
Hurts.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like razor blades.
Really difficult way to drink tea. I found out.
Yeah, up your ass?
College kids do it with vodka.
I was like, why didn't someone just...
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
a vodka-lonic or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Butt chugging. Butt chugging,
it's got a very appealing name.
I'm not kidding. Google it right now.
No, I know. I just don't think we've ever said that on the show.
No, we've never said butt chugging.
Butt chugging.
No, I feel confident.
Can you use that? Can you use that in a sentence, please?
I got all fucked up when I was butt chugging last week.
I'd like you to come to the party on Jeopardy. Be on Jeopardy.
I was oh my God, if they really want to keep butt chugging. If they really want to keep kids off that, they should make a less appealing name because that sounds like fun.
That's awesome. I mean, they're just fun to say, really. I don't know that it sounds awesome.
I'll take butt chugging, Bob.
For 200. Not today, Berta. Not today.
I'll take butt chugging for the block.
There will be no block today.
That literally is the center square. You're butt chugging.
I'm going to butt chug right at the center square.
Rosemary and butt chugging. Thank you.
She can't answer right now. She's butt chugging. Just fucking wrong.
But yeah, right, and also too many ways. Too many ways.
Too many ways.
I love it. Hi, Steven.
I may have found the name for the show this early. Wow. Yeah. Show number 180.
You're welcome.
Butt chugging. You're welcome. Thank you, Kat Carlson, ladies and gentlemen. Very good.
Well done. Well done.
Bringing butt chugging to gay podcasts everywhere.
And now we have our drinking word for the night. Yeah.
It's too easy. You gotta see.
It is not okay.
It is not okay.
I thought you were hysterical on Katie June's page. Just burst out laughing.
What?
I don't think you saw it.
What?
So there's this Palmer's birthday and the birthday cake, and this one goes on and on about she's three. I can't believe she's already three. Three. Hashtag it is not okay. Blah, blah, blah. And I just burst out laughing because this one puts
on
Katie June's page.
I've been using it all week. Yeah.
Hashtag it's not.
I remember it from last year. No, I remember.
But in someone else's post, it has zero to do with any. It was fantastic.
Especially like, it's not okay. Let's go to that link. And it's like pictures of people butt chugging. Along with a 3-year-old's birthday cake. You know what I mean?
Along with Ariel, the birthday cake.
The Ariel. And
God, I just burst out laughing.
Ariel and her areola.
And her grandpa building a jungle gym for her
by the
pool. Which is really smart. Put a jungle gym by the pool so you just jump right in, right from the pool.
Well, I think it's
coming
fun,
either way. You might as well make it closer and less dangerous.
Yeah. Well, sure. And she's a gymnast.
Yeah.
And she can swim.
Me too.
Katie's no, but
not.
I mean, no.
No.
Not with those boobs.
Katie's. Not,
no. Maybe. I don't know. There were a couple of gymnasts in high school that were rather in doubt, and I never could figure out them on the balance beam.
I'm assuming neither could they.
Yeah, they couldn't either, but they really
muscle did control.
Well. I'm thinking that's why we never heard of them as gymnasts. Yeah.
Because Mary Lee Retton was part of the Tiny Titty Committee.
No, they all are.
Yeah, they just go. They just flip over.
That was on last week.
That is the itty bitty.
The National Gymnastics Championships were on.
I was thinking of something else.
Hashtag it is not okay.
Oh, but the National Gymnastics Championships were because the men's were hotties.
Well, when the hell? Why didn't I get a text on that? I got a DVR.
It was like last Sunday or something, and I taped it accidentally.
You were wasted out of your mind on steroids.
I don't think it was actually on.
No. It may or may not have happened. No, it was like the week. It was the week prior.
Is he related to Richard Pryor?
Yes.
Good. I'm recording Houdini, by the way, last night and tonight.
I'm curious about that. Biography. Yeah, that's weird that you just bring up Richard Pryor. Did you just see him?
No, he doesn't walk around my house.
Clearly, still dead.
No, I know. No,
but
no,
he's right out there. He's on fire.
Is that what I smell?
He's headed for the door.
It's him or Michael Jackson. I wish one of them running
there
on flames.
I saw like two different shows, but actually watched one on Biography on Richard Pryor last night. That's just weird.
The only thing I've seen Richard Pryor of late was in regards to Robin Williams. There were pictures of them together, but not anything. But no, just Houdini. I love that app on your phone where you can just tell your you can forget to record it, but. Go on your phone and just tell it to record.
Did you get a contour box?
No, it's just on your app. No, really?
No, I thought it was only part of contour.
Oh, no. Cox Connect. It's. I'll show you after the show.
All right. I think that's important.
Yeah, I should.
Deal.
Right. We have so much going on. I'm glad you're all here.
I like it.
Everybody from all over the world, the country, and wherever, the ships at sea. Always the ships at sea. Whether you're really enjoying us or not, because there are 11 people in the chat room. I'm sure not all of them are chatting with us. But it's okay. We're going to come right back in just a mere moment. What?
We're Tomo's only connection to the U.S.
And he's happy for that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're actually the best part of the United States, believe it or not.
There's some other parts,
out.
But you don't want to worry about that at all. No. We are going to come right back in just a few minutes. It's time for headlines on this Tuesday night with the show on Hugh Talk America.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
All right, here we are, 7:34 on a Tuesday night. It's headlines, or whatever the hell we call it. It's just crap we talk about, we make fun of, and some of it's here and some of it's in Florida. Austrian SWAT team gets it all wrong.
I will not remove my makeup.
So, you swallow?
You dig through your own poop.
Speed Trap Town faces a scandal.
Sliver of cash.
Handsy groom arrested after wedding drama.
Ugandan pride.
And airline announcement from 1935. These and other things that we're going to interrupt each other and talk about.
No.
Right now on You Talk America. Oh.
Does that start now?
It's actually started 34 minutes ago. It's all we do is talk over each other.
Really?
Like right now?
Yeah.
No. Like 30 for me.
Well, no, yeah, but it's still sure.
Whatever.
I'm sure when you listen back to last week's show from your first time of being here, you realize how much you hear it when you listen as a regular listener. But now that you're a cast or part of it,
right.
You're like, oh, I didn't realize we talked that much. Well, you even said that you didn't realize how much we swore.
I didn't realize how much I was cussing. No,
yeah.
I had no idea.
But like I said, I think it's an environment, this environment, because like I don't think any of us, like when he walks into the restaurant where he works, he's not like, fuck you people.
I mean,
I do that.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that one instance.
Right.
It's like, you know, you just your environment.
My day job is practice for this show.
it gets a little blue where I work. I have to tell you, we do work a little blue.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what we don't sound like is this guy from the meth lab.
God fucking,
there, remember him from our early show? We did that. And everybody,
I forgot about him.
Everybody,
oh my God,
do you remember that
fantastic.
Though?
I don't think I do. That may have been.
That was a very early show.
Was that pre Moonshine One? Because Moonshine One was my first episode.
No, I don't think episode. That was pre
that. It's funny you remember your first episode. That is
I
so
do.
Funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can miss Moonshine.
Oh, we were.
That was hilarious.
No, but I remember when I played that.
How dangerous!
I remember when I played that meth lab. Sounded for a second. The first time I did it, Buddy Early, I think, about came out of his chair because he thought somebody was coming in the door.
Oh my God.
About lost his mind. Right. Oh, it was so
and
funny.
There were no cameras to see him duck.
Right. That was way before cameras.
That's awesome.
Right. Well, an Australian SWAT team. Well, now we've all had cases of mistaken identity where we thought we've seen a friend in a bar or a store only to find out that, well, we were wrong. That happens. Yeah. Sometimes you can find yourself in a neighborhood of, you know, all track homes all look the same and not really be able to tell one from the other. Well, or as my grandfather used to always tell me, the best laid plans of mice and men can all be blown to hell. Well, the drug bust was perfectly planned. Unfortunately, Australian police broke the wrong door down. Police official Joseph Knoflach, it's his name, I'm sure it's true, that's exactly how you pronounce it, or it's Knoflach, has confirmed a media report that a SWAT team...
I like both my options.
a SWAT team has used a battering ram to bust into an apartment at daybreak and surround its sleeping tenants with guns drawn. Well, they were actually meaning to get the apartment next door. Knoflach said Friday that police in the southern city of Klagenfurt.
Oh.
Or maybe?
Oh boy.
I don't know. It's
where they practice butt chugging.
He had a hard time reading the apartment numbers because, well, they decided to leave all the hall lights off in the apartment building so they wouldn't arouse suspicion. Wouldn't the hall lights being off be more suspicious? I don't know. It just seems to me.
It seems wasteful to me. Turn the lights
off. Okay, good for you. After the really surprise attack on the innocent people, they subsequently went next door and found cocaine pot and what the police call a suspicious amount of cash. Huh? Two men are currently in custody, and as for the wrong suspect, well, we are told that, quote, compensation forms have been handed out.
Oh, now, just so I'm ready, what is a suspicious amount of cash? Like, at what level of cash do I possess where it is suspicious?
You who never carries cash on him.
I know. It's been a long time.
I don't know what they consider suspicious amount. Like, if you got 10Ks, you know, just laying around, is that suspicious? I don't know.
I gotta go to the bank. I don't know.
I don't know what that is. I'm concerned.
I'm going to keep withdrawing cash till one of you looks at me suspiciously.
I mean, I wonder because I have.
Why do you keep counting through the money?
I have a neighbor that keeps swearing that whenever she dies, I have to go through every single item in her entire house because she hides cash everywhere. I don't know what I'm about to
find.
Well,
why don't you start doing that now? Like,
I'm
when you go over, just kind of walk across.
It's a little unnerving for her if I go through and start going through stuff.
No,
now.
Like just while. No, I don't mean like that. I mean like just while you're chatting, and then
pick
you're
up
like,
books.
Oh
and
my God,
just flip
what is this? I love this
flip
book. Nope. And then, like, maybe put a little mark.
So I've already been through that one.
It's just a matter of multitasking, really.
Well, she said that she found $400 a few months ago. She was just looking for something else, and she, oh, look, there's money.
A like, suspicious amount of cash.
Well, no, $400.
I'll try it just to see.
There we go. I don't know. Oh, back to you, Ryder.
I am not going to take off my makeup, said.
First of all, you got to put some on.
Yeah.
He said.
This comes in two parts.
Oh, go on, Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
The butt chugger.
Stop calling me Nick.
Butt chugger. You old butt chugger.
So
you.
There's a, a 16-year-old in South Carolina. His name is Chase Culpepper.
Oh, of course it is.
And he has filed a federal lawsuit against the State Department of Motor Vehicles. I saw this article before, and then it came back up because of him filing this federal lawsuit.
Okay.
He went and took his driver's test in June, and he was told that he had to remove his makeup then before his photograph could be taken.
Well, God, how much was
license.
He wearing?
He was born male, but wears mascara and lipstick. States were he dresses androgynously.
So basically, Boy George went and took a driving test.
But I don't know because he isn't really identifying.
All right.
So I don't want to put mascara on. But anyway, they said he had to remove it. He wears cosmetic and dresses, and he likes to dress that way, and it goes against his rights, according to him. Why can women wear makeup for their photos?
Valid point.
According to the DMV, they said the officials have said that the employees did nothing wrong and were merely enforcing department policy. Are you ready? This is the part that got me. Forbidding the wearing of disguises.
Oh. Well,
I thought that was... I mean, I can see it. So I could see kind of a both
right,
sides kind of thing
Do they... Miss Smith, I'm sorry, you've got to take off all the pan stick.
No.
No? See?
No. And that's the, you know, when Tammy Faye Baker went, I'm sure that they didn't look at her and say, honey.
Yeah. Can you tone it down a little? Yeah, like a lot?
Here's a wad of toilet paper. Go start taking that off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't, here is.
So has he filed the lawsuit?
There's a picture of him here.
Wow.
As
driving student A.
Right. Well, in essence. So
now they let him take the picture on the left, but the picture on the right, he had too much makeup, or is this just a question of height?
That's just his, yeah. Just his pictures.
It's the same amount of makeup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I just thought it was really interesting because disguises.
Now, do you have any more on this story than that? Or is he, they've just...
I have that just came out.
Okay.
He had a...
He may have too.
Kind of.
Kind of.
But I was wondering when I saw it because I have this printed off from June, end of June, beginning of July, and just never got to the story. And all of a sudden, I was going through, and I thought, "Oh, it's the same story."
May I?
Nope. Updated.
Well, I have to tell you,
updated.
He's making fine choices. He's lovely as a boy and as a girl.
Absolutely.
I kind of see their point about if you're going to be male on the license.
Yeah,
it would be. It's a little bit of a disguise.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now. There's in every picture I've ever taken in the DMV, there's been enhancement, but it's not to this extreme.
Yeah,
not to the.
Well, but
I certainly wouldn't use that necklace.
The flip side of things. The flip side of things. Now you have a male, as far as on the license going and wanting to wear makeup and projecting, if you will,
right,
female qualities. What about for some of us
that don't wear
ladies,
makeup?
Ladies, yeah. Not just that don't wear makeup, but
that look like sir.
Yes.
Oh no, and that's
no. I mean, just in, and granted,
I'm just saying. But if it's a
can't believe I just grabbed myself like that. But anyway,
if it's a she not this tits again.
We all sleep alone, Marnie. We all sleep alone.
I guess you could say if it alters your appearance, we're just appearing as yourself. No matter what you look like, there's no way to argue with that. But if you're altering your appearance for the photograph, it's a weak argument, but I could see it being made. You going in with a no makeup, doesn't matter. It's just you.
Sure.
That's what you look like. Good or bad, it's what you look like.
Sure.
You know, I look like Uncle Fester in mine. So there's, you know, really not a lot of ways
they
to go with that. I try to avoid turtlenecks now.
No.
That's putting light bulbs in my mouth.
Everybody always asks me to sing. That pisses me off.
So you brought up an interesting point that I never actually thought much of because these aren't things I dwell on. A name like Cat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's Cat Stevens. There's like, it could be kind of an androgynous name.
Though, I mean, that one guy, but yeah. Sure.
Right. No, but I'm saying... But
every other cat I've ever known of in the entire world
has always
female,
been okay.
Yeah.
Or had cat scratch fever.
I got a shot for that. I'm good.
Yeah.
I
love that.
How many times have you? And I've never thought of this. How many times have you been mistaken for a guy?
Oh my God, I can't even count.
Really?
I can't even count. No, it's so many times. There's one memorable trip to Laughlin, Nevada, where I was there with my friend Luke. Who was also born female and has since transitioned to become Luke. But before the transition, my friend Luke and I are sitting at, you know, blackjack tables and everything, and we got so tired of, boys, can I see your ID, that we just kept them, like, on top of our cigarettes, because we were big smokers at the time. But you know what I mean? We'd sit there and our pack of cigarettes and our IDs would be right there and we just got sick of it. We're like, P.S. we're girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
you're still constant. Losing, but you're girls.
I get chased into women's public restrooms all the time.
Mm.
All the time.
And not for
sir,
good reasons.
Sir. Nope. I can read. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. I have women.
See these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have women get really offended that I'm there. I was out shopping. Yeah, I was out shopping one Black Friday and had this woman like eyeball me from the time she left the stall while she's washing her hands until she's right like eye to eye with me, and she's like, and I'm like 10 people deep in this line because it's Black fucking Friday and I'm right. I'm at the mall, and yeah, she walks past the whole line like washes her hands, eyeballing me the whole time, and she's like, this is women's, and I'm like, I know.
You bitches take a long time. Yeah.
I mean, I can read gay, not stupid.
Yeah.
And not just that. It's Black Friday.
Yeah.
Why in God's name would you stand in the women's line?
Right, the longer
seriously,
line.
Yeah.
If
I
was, yeah.
I mean, if
oh
I'm
my
a
God,
guy,
I can't wait to wait.
Over here.
Yeah, I can't wait to wait in line to go to the bathroom.
If it was less dangerous in this country, I would go in the men's room.
Yeah, totally.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, because if you could just, you got a good aim, you're good, you're fine, you're in and out, boom, done. Huh. Nobody would know the wiser.
They have toilets and stalls. Nobody cares.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, y'all have
yeah I had a little run of getting too close to androgyny from like 17 and a half.
Look at pictures he posts
19.
On his Facebook. You'll understand.
A little bit my fault, just a little bit of skinny red hair, kind of, and then finally letting my hair go curly, 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 like really embracing it, and like it just got it. It would be kind of funny, but it'd be kind of be like, come on.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to deal with. Sometimes, like I look like this on purpose. Like I do. I get up in the morning and I put on a ball cap and I wear men's clothes. Like I look like this on purpose, and I don't.
Interesting choice.
Thank you. Yeah, same hat. I almost wore the same shirt. I had to change before I came.
Oh, good.
You look lovely. I always have to think, what did I have on last weekend?
And I did. I wore like unisex girls' clothes. But the one thing that it kind of made everybody uncomfortable was and it was one of my favorite things. I was at the department store I worked at in New York. I was sitting on the floor and I was like labeling stuff or putting stuff up on a shelf or doing something, and I was just kind of like smiling and kind of talking to myself, and the manager of the store came around with like a district manager or someone and was like, now this is what you should be hiring, like just a nice clean cut girl like this one, like look, just, she's like, she's lovely, and I'm like,
you're like, thank you.
And the manager had, we'd had so many conversations about the manager, like just the girl thing, and he was like, oh thanks, and just smiled, like, and it was like, nope. But. Not picking that battle today.
Yeah. Just bat your eyelashes.
We've had a conversation with, and it was always like girls' pants with a men's white button-down collar, but it just came off as so like, I don't know where this is going. And then there was always a shaker knit sweater somewhere. Or...
Well, and you're right. You know, you have to pick your battles. Like sometimes I go toe-to-toe, and sometimes it's just an old lady that thinks I really just walked into the wrong room, and I very politely, in my most girlish voice, I say thank you.
Yeah. But I can do that, too. Yeah.
They used to think he was
I
his mother.
I see you two going toe-to-toe on this side.
He would answer the phone at home, and
he's
they'd say,
Ruth? Get in the girl's room first.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
But mine was the voice that throws people up. But grandmother would call all the time in the summer.
Yeah.
Ruth? No. Debbie? No. Nancy? No. Grandma, who's home on a weekday?
Alfie?
Who doesn't have a job? Alfie? Yep. You got it. Fourth try. Same conversation we've had every day this summer. You want to go again?
Memories. So nice.
Nana had a hard hearing.
Oh,
I guess.
That used to crack me up.
Well, regardless, you're adorable either way.
Thank you.
Make you
thank you.
Well, and it's however you're comfortable. And I think that's what, you know, we were talking about that because of weddings and like being invited to weddings. And this whole, for like, on my end, I can speak for myself. Oh, God. It terrifies me to have to go to anything formal or anything even kind of dressy. When I went out east to Frankie's wedding, Jesus Christ.
And the Katie June shopping spree that I heard went well.
Well, the Katie June shopping spree was very fun, and it was lovely, and it was really not appropriate for out there. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, I walked into this place.
Well, there's Phoenix Fancy, and then there's formal.
Right, yeah.
Phoenix Fancy.
I mean, if they showed up here, they would be way overdressed.
Yeah, and I suffer from that now, too. I've been way too long in Phoenix Fancy that I'm like,
Doesn't that mean like pressed shorts or like linen shorts?
Right, exactly.
Seriously, if you put a collar on my shirt, right. I'm Phoenix fancy
dancing, right
now.
Right, exactly.
Oh my god, I'm Phoenix formal.
Oh, fuck that. I figured out that if I just put a black blazer over any turtleneck or any V-neck, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
You got me on turtlenecks and everything. Yeah, no. Every fucking thing I host. Blue jeans, black jacket, V-neck. Yeah. Sometimes it's a white V-neck just to
mix it. You can even go to a butt-chugging party in that.
You know, stay wear. Dress it up. Wear.
Who does one dress for a butt-chugging party?
I know you can't see those shoes, but those are gorgeous.
Yeah, hey, girl, where are you going butt-chugging?
You know, though.
That's where.
Where are you going in those assless chaps?
Butt-chugging.
It's all about the access.
Oh,
that's well, speaking of chugging.
Move along, please. Move along.
Two people were arrested on suspicion of felony theft after police said one of them swallowed a stolen ring in an attempt to hide it. I think it's an attempt to steal it. Personally, police say an X-ray clearly showed the ring inside the stomach of 25-year-old Christina Schlegel. Investigators say the 29-year-old... Investigators say 29-year-old Brian Ford had been examining a ring worth several thousand dollars at a Zales jewelry store on Friday night.
My mother still sends me things from Zales, so I can return them.
Jared was closed. So they were at Zales on Friday night in Orem, Utah, which is about 45 miles south of Salt Lake, when he allegedly left with the ring. Police say that he was chased by an employee as he got into a car driven by Schlegel. Officers stopped the car and arrested both suspects a short time later. Police say that they were baffled as to the ring's whereabouts until X-rays of Schlegel's stomach were taken and they found the ring in her belly. No details were available for how or when the ring was returned.
And Schlegel's got to take a big-ass poop, too. I saw that X-ray.
Yeah. It's a good ring.
No, it's...
I know, I saw it. It's not on here, but I...
No, that I just had it.
Oh, so. You did?
Yeah, that's what...
I just pointed out to her what the one picture of... Like, there's a picture of a ring, and then there's a picture of a woman who needs to have a really large bowel movement.
Oh. Got it. Yeah, yeah. Was that one of your stories for today?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't realize it. Yeah,
I know. She should have gone to Jared.
That's poop.
No, I understand what... Butt chugging. I get it.
No, but you should be impressed that I can find that in an X-ray.
Well, I'm not. I would expect you to. You are a restaurateur.
No, you're doing that wrong.
Always cracks me up.
Over the shoulder.
Always cracks me up.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so the ring, hopefully they got it back. I'm sure he had to shake a little bit to get out of there. But
the fact that she has to dig through her own shit and it's a non-flushable toilet made me laugh. Like, they put her in a room where the toilet will not flush so that
she all of a sudden you're going to hear...
Did they give her the little catch basket?
No. I think it's just it doesn't flush. So she's
it's like a bedpan.
Yeah,
just start eating raspberries, honey.
Shitting in a bucket and going through
grapes.
It.
Just eat grapes.
She's like a baboon in there.
Or Taco Bell. Just
throwing it.
Get out of there.
Throwing it around. So we've got a sliver of cash. Tennessee man had sex with an ATM and a picnic table.
Wow.
How do you always find people having sex with machinery?
This was on my questions for last week that I never got
It's actually
how
from family.
How to have sex with machinery?
It's actually what from family members.
No. What do you Google to come up with? Like, what are your keyword searches? Because there's been the guy that had sex with his car.
Right.
There's been several just strange
the humping of the
penis
couch
and vagina
in Wisconsin
episodes. Yeah. Like, what?
I'm telling you. There are no...
Dead people in houses. Like, the brothers...
The dead brothers.
I mean, the dead people don't creep me out. It's all the weird sex stories. I'm like, Marnie.
I'm telling you, I don't put anything in.
I feel like Ernie needs a support group.
I swear to you.
She does, but it has nothing to do with Marnie.
Yeah, it has nothing to do, thank you.
These two stories are not related.
Sounds the same, but not.
One thing here is not like the other. No, truthfully, I never put in to Google like sex stories or anything else. I just have weird stories, and then I... just scroll through to find the strangest headline.
Yeah, that's how I do the same thing. And I just they just happen to always be Florida or some other fucked up thing. Yeah.
So, this poor gentleman. He decided to get a little drinky. A little drunky drunk. And he...
Cheers.
L'chaim.
It's not a bad choice.
Butt chugging.
Yeah.
He went into a bar in Tennessee, in Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. I believe they say it, bruh.
Bruh. An unusual deposit. Yeah.
Was it the ring?
Deposit. Yeah, exactly.
No, unusual deposit when he took down his pants and started fucking the ATM.
Yes.
There you have it. Now, when you get cash back, does that make you a whore?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, police are called, oddly, because he's walking around the bar with
his
pants down.
What did he stick it into, though? It's all skinny slots.
Well, we don't want to talk about it.
Isn't that the point?
Well, yeah. There you have it.
I just don't see the receptacle.
Well, neither did he.
Or the reservoir tip.
Well, you know that bigger slot now where you put in the cash?
Oh, good.
It's a little bigger, but that bites down.
I know. I mean, maybe it sucks in, but that. It doesn't spit you back.
Maybe he likes it.
Oh, we were unable to accept some of your bills.
We did not see any presidents on the head of that.
Well, when the automated banking machine didn't return his affection, he just started walking around the bar, pantless. At which point the cops come and they remove him from said the Borough Bar and Grill.
Borough Bar and Grill.
And they take him outside where there's a picnic table. They had him pull up his pants, apparently. Between here and there.
Good start.
Well.
Good call.
Didn't matter. Took him down. Started fucking the picnic table. Apparently he was just into objects.
Random sex.
No, just thin
objects.
Slots.
Wait, thin are slots,
we,
maybe.
Are we
yeah.
talking actual penetration? Or
Nor does it let me know.
Like
if
the tailpipe, I understand.
Yeah, I get
that,
a visual. Yeah. But
I know how that works.
Are we just dry humping? Like,
are we dry humping? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure
probably,
that I'm sure
I don't think there's any.
I don't think any of these are providing their own
lubrication.
Yeah.
No.
Was it a wooden picnic table? Because now I'm worried about splinters.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a post-menstrual ATM.
Cat, a sliver of cash.
Oh,
that was my headline.
Oh, she led with a pun and I let it go.
I was promised no puns.
I thought it was a small story about the bar she worked in. A sliver of cash.
A sliver of cash. Anyway, we don't know if he has an attorney.
Or tweezers to get the splinters out.
Well, my God.
And the paper cuts would be just grueling.
All righty. Well, we'll continue on our journey into the wild and weird and stupid. The North Florida town of Waldo, Florida, has long had a reputation as a speed trap, and it's no wonder. I mean, a small segment of highway that runs through Waldo requires drivers to speed up and slow down 6 different times. It goes from 65 miles an hour to 55, 55 to 45, goes back to 55, then down to 45, 55 again, and then gets down to 35. It's a fucking speed trap. AAA actually named the tiny town between Jacksonville and Gainesville one of the only 2 traffic traps nationwide, and even placed an anti-attention, or excuse me, an anti-attention, an attention
Don't
getting.
Don't pay attention here.
Stop. Drive fast. They placed placed attention getting billboards outside of the city limits of this town to warn drivers to slow the hell down before entering. Well, now Waldo faces a scandal following.
Waldo needs a new pair of shoes.
Following allegations that the town victimizes motorists to turn a profit. 2 police chiefs have been suspended. The police department has rebelled again, and the state is investigating the possible wrongdoing by these policemen. The situation simmered for years until this month when Police Chief Mike Szabo was subpoenaed by, apparently in response to the investigation by the Department of Law Enforcement in Florida, into suspected improprieties in the way officers write tickets. The issue then burst into the open 2 weeks later when Waldo City Council meeting, where a group of police officers said they had been ordered by Szabo to write 12 tickets per each 12-hour shift or face repercussions. The officers also leveled allegations at the August 26th meeting against Corporal Kenneth Smith, who had been picked to fill in for Szabo while he was out. The officers complained that Smith had, among other things, mishandled evidence, and the city council then suspended him. Not surprisingly, things are tense in the tiny stucco storefront office town that serves as Waldo City Hall. On Friday morning, Mayor Louie Davis and City Manager Kim Worley met in a small cluttered office to discuss the controversy, slamming a door and shut with a no comment sign on it when a reporter walked in seeking information.
I wanted you to say that they both got tickets. They both got speeding tickets
to the city hall
on their way to the meeting.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, well, it says Waldo has long had a reputation as a speed trap, but allegations made by the police officers were particularly stunning since ticket quotas are illegal within the state of Florida.
And here, too, remember we used to have the thing at Charlie's where they had the quota.
They used to sit outside the,
The DUI quota at Charlie's.
Sure. Yeah. They used to do that, too. Absolutely. Yeah, in the first hour, that means we got 2 more hours coming up. Later on, we're going to wrap up our headlines. Al's got entertainment. We have a drinking word. Kate, excuse me, Kat. Kate.
Same song.
Okay, same song. Kat Carlson is here with us. She's going to have sports and other stuff. We're going to have all kinds of things coming up. You can chat with us in the chat room. If you're listening to us now, it's easy to get to. Just click on that chat now banner at the top of the page. We thank you for being with us. Everybody from around the world, we have more to come. We'll be back in just seconds right here on Q Talk America.
And who is...
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, here we are again, the beginning of hour two. We call it the 8 o'clock hour. I don't know what time it is where you are, but I'm sure you'll figure that out. We are live coming to you from Studio C in Phoenix, Arizona, where it is a lovely, lovely day. Finally, the evenings are cooling off here. And the nights get nice. It's 96 degrees right now, and it's lovely right
it's
now.
It's a little chilly.
I'm certainly not mad about
which
that at all.
96. Wonderful.
Our low is 80 degrees. We haven't been below like 90 in forever. So to have an 80 degree overnight low is fantastic.
My air conditioner is going to be so cold.
I'm still not going to turn my AC down.
To what?
I always turn it up. Like I always leave it the same until I just turn it off.
Yeah.
I have
no,
like
I get you.
Up and down. And
yeah,
trying
same
to figure
thing.
It out.
Ugh. I get you. No, I'm not adjusting mine either. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Here we are at the beginning of hour two, sitting alongside with me this week, filling in once again for her repeat performance. It's Kat Carlson. Marnie Ryer is here at the end of the table. Al Perkins recovering from almost imminent death. And joining us, I'm just...
Settle down.
Well, I like how you don't have the dramatic
near-death experience.
Very, almost,
how very butt-chugging of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'll actually kill
That's
you, by
butt-chuggable.
The way.
That's butt-chuggable.
Yes. If you Google butt chugging, there's a whole lot of imagery.
Oh, I don't
Did you Google
know.
It?
Well, why? Of
Good
course.
For you.
I had nothing else to do while he was talking. Nothing.
I thought this was your segment. Wait.
Oh, trust me. Al overruns any segment. It doesn't matter. He runs it.
I'll talk all over.
The beginning of hour two always brings us our drinking word, and it starts out something like this.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, and a surprise to no one, our drinking word today is butt chugger.
Yes!
Well played, well played.
All my dreams have come true. Yeah.
Sadly, you didn't. It's all the dream you had, yeah. Really. Yes.
Simple girl with a dream.
I'm just a small town girl trying to make it in a big city.
Good there you Lord. Go. So butt check. I'll to type that into our thing. Marnie, the story is in your court, so I'll let you take that.
So this goes to a little bit more of a serious note.
Oh, no.
But not terribly serious. It's the absurd as far as I'm concerned. Okay. But it was sadly
theater of the absurd.
Theater of the absurd. In Arizona, of course. It's either Florida or Arizona. 9-year-olds and Uzis.
Oh,
not
this.
This story.
No.
It's about the absurdity of it. And so it's not about going in some crazy direction with it.
It just needs to be said.
How do you... And that's all. Back
Why
to you,
on earth?
And how anyone... And that they took a special flight out.
Give the details, because this story just kind of...
Some people outside of our immediate area...
I apologize. Tomo especially, because this is how he catches up with us.
Yeah.
So there was a 9-year-old with her family that was brought to... They took a flight to Arizona, And
from?
They came here, and it was from, they came to Dolan Springs. I thought it was from Nevada. I thought they were from Nevada, but somebody, there was something in here about,
I thought they were
from
away.
Las Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah. In the family, whose hometown hasn't been revealed, had taken a shuttle on the 25th of August from Las Vegas south to the Last Stop Range. Well, isn't that ironic?
No. No, it's not ironic.
Yeah. It's coincidental.
Yeah.
It's literal.
It's literal. I'm going to go with literal.
It's literal. Once arriving there, there was a 9-year-old girl, her parents, a sister, and a brother. They took a monster truck ride before heading out to the shooting range. The father went out onto the shooting range first and handled the weapon. So he obviously would know that this Uzi, it's an Uzi.
Uzi, right.
As you do after a monster truck ride, you go like and you fire an Uzi. He knew how that would handle.
Hell of a kick, apparently.
Yeah. Now, then he hands it off to his 9-year-old daughter. And the shooting range instructor helped the little girl fire off a few rounds and then switch the weapon to automatic and step back and let her hold the Uzi by herself.
She fired
the gun, and the recoil wrenched the Uzi upward, striking him in the head.
Yeah.
Well, the family, because the girl dropped the Uzi, the family ran to the little girl because she was holding her shoulder. As one would when an Uzi recoils.
Because it kicks your... Hurt her shoulder.
Probably threw her shoulder right out of the socket.
Better hurt.
It was then that they realized that the instructor had been shot in the head.
In the face.
Most of his face was gone at that point.
Yeah, in the face.
In the face. Sorry.
Yeah.
Prosecutors are not going to file charges. And they say that it's the instructor more than even the family.
That's what I heard today on the radio. He's really the one that's in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was reading along with you in another story. He was the shoot master or whatever, the head butt chucker. Because that's what you have to be doing to hand a 9-year-old an Uzi,
right?
And not expect to be shot in the face.
You have to be butt chugging.
Yeah, there's something wrong. But the family's response is just
words cannot express
at best odd.
The family says words cannot express the family's sadness. This is through an attorney. About the accidental shooting of Charles Vaca, I believe is how you pronounce it. They prayed day and night that he would survive his injury. And they continue to pray for his family during this terrible, difficult time.
The night part wasn't as important because he was already dead.
Exactly. They also ask for the public's prayers for their own family.
Because all they wanted to do was teach their 9-year-old
how to shoot a Uzi. What's wrong with that?
Right, exactly. What a great thing. First, you brought your children to Vegas. Okay, here's your first. Because they're not from Vegas. They were vacationing there. And this was.
Because I think they're from New Jersey because it's a New Jersey attorney that they have. Yeah. That's why I'm.
This is the idea of an excursion. Not go see the Hoover Dam or go to the high desert. No.
Go across the border, Arizona.
And teach your 9-year-old to shoot a Uzi.
We're going to go shoot an Uzi after the monster truck.
Yay.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ridiculous.
It just caught me, the fact that the stupid gun laws anyway. And then the fact that they go to a range and that any, you know, you go to a fair, you go to Disneyland, and it says you have to be this tall to ride this ride.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that there would be something for shooting an Uzi?
I think it really, like...
And I don't know anything about them. Are they big? Are they heavy?
I bet you could Google it.
Pretty sure there's
that. You could do that.
Yeah.
I've not held one. You know what? I've never held an Uzi either, but, you know, and shame on, not shame on him, maybe shame on me for saying this because the poor man's dead, but the instructor should have never let go of
that
gun.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, some of my family is in very rural areas of Idaho.
For the love of fuck, who would hand that to a 9-year-old?
Yeah. So... You know, a lot of this is the fault of the instructor, and everybody's like, oh my God, right. The gun laws, and oh my God, this. I've shot guns from a very young age. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My grandfather laughed like hell when he handed me a shotgun, all 98 pounds of me, and watched me fall the fuck down.
Right, my grandfather's standing over
me laughing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the entire time, he was, you know, he knew what was going to happen. He was supervised. Sure. Like, I don't...
You're going to wind up on your ass.
Right.
Sure.
In a strange way, I don't have a problem with people having guns. I don't have a problem with children shooting guns. under the appropriate supervision, and the parents were doing kind of the right thing. I don't necessarily agree with the Uzi, but yeah, take your kid to the shooting range by all means, like under the proper supervision. There's a marksman instructor there. Like, there's all of the proper supervision. Sure. What was this asshat thinking to let go, to put it on automatic, first of all,
right,
and then let go?
Right.
Like, this is the problem.
That was like a suicide mission.
Yeah,
like,
it makes a much better soundbite to be like, oh my
first
God, why are we putting guns?
We're going to throw a 5-pound dumbbell at you. If you can't catch it, then we're not going to let you hold the
then
Uzi recoiling.
Right. You're not coordinated.
Yeah. No, but
that.
The weight, but the actual weight.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I have fired a gun as I do this, like I'm going to do it right now.
I was a shooter.
But I had somebody took me out to the desert to fire a gun. There was a time in my life where I considered having one many years ago, and it was very unpleasant. But I have to tell you that even on it was a smaller handgun, but the recoil on that was like, oh fuck, that can go nothing but wrong.
Mm-hmm. We went to Shooter's World when it was like over an Indian school.
It's called
whatever.
The shoot.
Shooter's World, I said.
Totally different.
Totally different.
Different
I've
shot.
I've actually had to take Braun to the shoot once. I did not. I waited in the parking lot. I'm like,
well, of course you would.
No. I'm saying the fact that I waited because I knew he was just, and he would come right back out. That was ridiculous. Of course I waited outside. But
Marnie's going and going, hey, look at this.
I'm boyish.
Hey girl,
come on, once around.
Are we butt chugging?
Yeah.
In
a way.
In a certain way.
World.
No.
So we went in there and we shot a Glock and did this whole thing. Sure. And then these guys thought it would be hysterical. Shoot this shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not pay attention. And I,
some of them have
maybe
a really
I'm 25
big kick.
Years old, 24, 25. I had never shot anything, you know, such as that. A BB gun, maybe.
Mm.
I seriously thought that my shoulder had just been detached.
Oh, if you don't do it right, you can break bones and like bad things can happen.
Oh, it
you can
just,
shoot somebody in the face. I mean, bad shit has happened.
Death
but
can
you
occur.
Know what? Again, like I've watched that video and he's like right next to her and during the initial shot, he's got his hand on top of the weapon, like steadying
holding it.
Yeah. Yep. And then he just puts it on automatic and lets go. Like, of course he got shot in the face.
Oh, that's like the guy that the instructor that was cleaning the gun and shot himself in the head in front of the class.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Arizona's just filled
that's
with
just
great
stupid
stories.
Humans.
Yes.
Stupid humans. Yes.
It is. But
or they like to call them responsible gun owners.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's why I don't disagree with you as far as if I don't understand it completely.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, be supervised and learn how to, if you're going to handle a gun, I'd rather you know how to use it.
And I kind of take my own gay marriage abortion advice. Like, against it, don't have one, so I don't have a gun.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Not really out after yours, but I don't need one.
Right.
And I would hope you don't bring it to a movie theater.
But, correct.
Because none of us needs it there.
No one needs it there. But the idea that you would just hand a 9-year-old one, and I do have an issue with the parents. Because they weren't out there. There wasn't something like, you know, they were... whooping, hollering,
encouraging all of this.
Well, sure.
Let her do it
all around. They're in the Wild West. Why not?
Why not?
Right, yeah.
Right.
On some kind of weird adventure.
And now this girl's 9 years old and has killed someone.
Yeah.
And there aren't charges, nor
that's
should there be for
nicknames.
That.
Sure.
But that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
Hope her name's
Annie. Like, she's the innocent victim.
Get your
here.
Gun.
Get your gun.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right.
The little girl's the innocent victim.
She is.
You
she
know
is.
What I mean? The instructor got shot in the face because he was dumb.
Yeah.
You know,
the parents have to live with that they put a murder weapon in their child's hands.
Right.
The girl has to live with the fact, like, oh, I'm a big old fuck up.
I killed someone. Yes.
Yeah.
When she it's grows up, she's and it's all on video.
Possibly next week. Right. That'll follow her.
I mean,
that looks great on a college.
And then every time she ever sees a movie or somebody gets shot in a movie, she's going to always be like,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that.
Anyway. So.
Got it. A groom became rather handsy with a pregnant waitress at his wedding reception and tried to pour alcohol down her throat. Then, well, he resisted arrest, and then after getting into a fight with her boyfriend, police said, well, they had to arrest him. Mark
they
Williams,
should shoot him.
Mark Williams, 33, of Crafton, Pennsylvania, was charged with riot, harassment, and resisting arrest Monday in the altercation during his wedding cruise aboard the Gateway Clipper. According to a criminal complaint, Williams touched the waitress several times, then scuffled with her boyfriend, whom she had phoned after the boat docked just before 1 a.m. The groom's brother, an off-duty state trooper named David Williams, is accused of assaulting two Pittsburgh police officers called to the scene. David Williams, 35, of Plum, Pennsylvania, faces the same charges as the groom, plus obstructing law enforcement and disorderly conduct. He just wanted to do everything. Mark Williams declined comment to reporters outside the court on Monday. State police spokesman Maria Finn confirmed that a trooper had been arrested during the reception, but wouldn't come in as to who. She said the trooper has worked for the state police since November 2003 and is assigned to the Kiske Valley Barracks, about 30 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. He is on leave, she said, but again would not identify the man by name. A third man at the wedding reception is charged with punching out the window of a parked car. The server's boyfriend acknowledged fighting with Mark Williams, but wasn't criminally charged, police said. God, what a fucked up...
So, wait, there was a riot at the wedding?
A riot. He felt up a pregnant waitress. He just got married.
Felt I was up at a pregnant wedding waitress, one time.
And then... were they butt-chugging? That's the only thing they didn't do.
We were tailgating in the parking lot, though.
You don't know that. They could have butt-chugged in the coat room.
Is tailgating another word for butt-chugging? The danger of
homicide. Synonyms. Kind of. We're going tailgating tonight.
Every Sunday we go tailgating.
We go tailgating.
I get drunk faster at the tailgating party.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, Marnie, continue
this
on.
This just sounds like Alrighty. This sounds like classy. As I'm reading the story, because I had to find out where exactly Crafton was.
I looked up Crafton, too, and I'm like, oh, that's a really nice part of Pennsylvania.
Now, according to this, it's a beautiful, it's called the City of Trees, or the Tree City.
That's very
beautiful,
nice.
Beautiful tree-lined...
avenues.
Yeah, and it's known for its, hold on, let me get back there. It's a well-kept secret in Pittsburgh.
Oh, not anymore.
The Tree City USA community is one of the best-kept secrets of Pittsburgh with its beautiful historic you can Victorian feel homes and tree-lined
feel
streets.
Up a pregnant nurse or pregnant waitress and then try to make her drink liquor.
Unless you're a pregnant waitress, then all safety issues go out the door.
My God.
Well, you know when somebody gets obsessed about something? Never.
No, I
never.
Don't.
No one no here. Idea. No one here.
No one here.
Nope, no
don't bring up underwear models or buses.
No,
do not.
No obsessions here.
None, or vacuums. God, no.
Not a bit of empathy.
Is there any bus update
or
for later?
Is it what?
A bus update?
Not tonight.
All right.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
So, in this day and age,
bitch,
you can't...
Could have been anybody.
I mean, that's the nicest possible way.
There was so much eye rolling and turning our heads away. That could have been a direct to anyone.
That's really true.
Due to a lack of witnesses, anyone could be the bitch in that story.
Marnie, please continue.
Well, just talking about being obsessed. Again, we're in the bus.
Repeat it one more
Marilyn
time.
Marilyn Jean Hartman.
Marnie.
Marnie.
What is
I got to check the lights. I got to check the lights.
Can I call you Marilyn for the rest of the night?
He will. You might as well.
Deal. It's a
Marilyn.
Pact.
Marilyn. Marilyn.
Butt chugger.
I've been watching a lot of Big Bang Theory. Gotta let me be.
You're lovely on steroids.
Thank you.
Anyway, she was arrested here in Phoenix. This Marilyn
local
Jean
girl.
Hartman.
Local girl.
Does good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could be homeless. Suffers from whistleblower trauma syndrome.
What the hell is that?
And has been diagnosed with
that is the butt chugger's ugly cousin. The whistleblower.
Whistleblower trauma syndrome. WTS, as some people say. Many people say WTF.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Trauma syndrome.
Anyway, she's also been medically diagnosed with major depression, because it has to say medically diagnosed. But homeless, whistleblower trauma syndrome, I mean, she's got it bad. She's got it bad.
I feel bad for her.
Anyway.
That ain't good.
Hashtag,
it is not okay.
Oh.
So, her last psychological was about a year ago, and they're requesting the police are another one, because she's looked crazy. She keeps trying to get on planes without a ticket. Did you hear about her?
No. I've not heard about this at all.
Oh, she has been, she was violating probation, doing all this. She was arrested Tuesday, last week, near baggage claim at Phoenix Sky Harbor, on suspicion of criminal trespass. She was loitering, turn back on, she was loitering around a checkpoint and didn't have a ticket. So, she recently was ordered to spend 117 days in jail. This was out in L.A. That's where I had first heard about her.
Okay.
Spent 117 days in jail for violating probation by returning to L.A. International Airport.
How the hell did she get there? From where? How does she? I mean, she gets on a plane somewhere.
She's a whistleblower. Anyway, they'll take her.
It's hard to get there by car.
That's right. They had to release her. With the 117 days because of overcrowding in the detention facility in Lynnwood. So she's made previous attempts to sneak aboard flights at other airports. She was arrested August 4th for taking a Southwest Airlines flight from from San Jose to Los Angeles without a ticket.
How the fuck did she get past security?
Atta girl.
Her boarding status was discovered once the plane landed in L.A. Now,
why would you not realize?
Why would you realize the count?
They may not have realized the count till they were in the air, like they, you know, when they go down and they count.
Right.
Because it should match.
It should.
No, right. It should.
At San Jose International Airport, she tried at least three times to get on a plane before she finally went past a security screener who was busy checking a family's documents. So that's how she got past. I have not seen anything like that.
At smaller airports, I could kind of see it because they usually only have the one person there that's checking the passports and the IDs. And I could see where you could make it. You could pull down the ropes or go under the ropes and just kind of like fade into a crowd.
But in bigger
airports, there's too many people. They're staffed. LAX, that's... God bless her if she got on one in LAX.
Which, you know what? There's a certain magic to just acting like you belong, though.
That's
true. No, that's true. I've been in very many situations like that where you're, you know, I didn't have credentials like, to be backstage somewhere, and all of a sudden, you just walk in with big hair and an attitude, and they're like, oh, don't fuck with her.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's a butt chugger.
Yeah.
or a whistleblower.
Whistleblowers? Yeah. I don't get how the whistleblower is connected yet. So you read on, Ryer.
Well, we'll have to. Could you look up whistleblower? Trauma syndrome?
Maryland. No, you're Maryland.
So she's made previous attempts, like I said. She was already on the 117 days that she was supposed to be in jail, but overcrowding let her out. She pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor count of willfully and unlawfully entering Los Angeles as a stowaway on an aircraft and was sentenced to 2 years of probation at that time. In February, just this past February, she was sentenced to 18 months of probation in San Mateo. How can you just probation on top of probation? Like, at some point, you fucked up your probation?
No, there's too many pot smokers in jail.
Wouldn't somebody actually blow the whistle and be like, hey, listen, Margaret, you've been in this...
Maryland.
Whatever her name is. What's her name?
Maryland.
Her name's Maryland?
And she also is getting on these planes because she's elderly, so you could see where...
How old is she? She's 62. I don't know. But if you look at her,
she looks like a sweet old grandma. Like, you could see...
This is the face of somebody who's trying to get on...
So you could see where she would blend in as, like, that's crazy grandma. Right. She's just babbling.
It's all about Jean.
So this 18 months...
She butt-chugged a lot when she was young.
Back in the day... In February, the sentence to 18 months of probation in San Mateo County after being arrested for attempting to board three Hawaii-bound flights at San Francisco International.
She's trying to up her game.
On three separate days. So she just... Talk about your persistence.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe that. I don't know.
And I wonder if there's a destination she could get to where she'd be happy. Like, you know...
She may never find out.
But is Hawaii the goal? I mean, if we just put her on a plane and ship her to Hawaii, would she quit getting on planes? Just let her go.
Yeah.
Go to the Big Island. Shut up.
Maybe.
We're done.
But we should buy her a ticket.
Well, I don't care. I mean, I think anyone would even sponsor her. Like, let's get her
take it out of the budget. Come on.
I don't think that this chick is going to fit into the wheel well like that little kid did.
The kid, yeah.
That was wild. So did we find out whistleblower trauma syndrome? Or did she just make that shit up?
No. It seems to be a thing. Okay. Did you find it?
Yeah, it's when someone who is a whistleblower in the medical community who's, and this is the one that I found, is if you're... whistleblowing on issues of medical fraud or violations, and you're trying to get people to act or investigate, and then you get it's the retaliation against you.
That's the trauma syndrome.
And the PTSD that comes from retaliation.
Yeah, going to work and always facing the blowback that is now...
Does she have a history in working in the medical field?
I don't think hers went into that. Hers did say she was medically diagnosed with all kinds of crazy.
Right. Yeah, my
question is, though, so with what you just said, what I read into that is... It's whistleblower syndrome. You're the person who's finding the flaws in something. You're reporting it, and you're getting the blowback from it, right?
Right.
So is her goal just figuring this out? Is her goal to figure out where all the security flaws are in an airport and how she can get on planes?
I mean, that could be part of it too. That could be where the pathology has led. That would kind of make sense.
I think she's. If I had to guess and diagnose her from here, because I just will.
Yeah.
He does it all the time.
Sure. Butt chug away.
No, I would guess that, you know, she's had something traumatic happen in her life, and this is how it's just manifesting for her to deal with it.
Right.
Like, this is her runaway.
I have to get away.
This is her, I'm 17 years old and jumping in a car. This is her runaway.
Yeah.
For those of you who listened last week, you'll understand what she just said. But I do wonder if her new mission, her mission in life is to figure out every security flaw within an airport. How can you get around it? And she's trying to show them how she does it.
If she wrote reports on this, maybe. You know what I mean? Like,
but I think she's just from the what I read about her, she just sounded too damaged to do anything cognizant anymore. Like I said, she may have that underlying, but I don't think you'd get anything.
If we're going to throw big words like that at Al, I'm done trying to defend it.
Yeah. I like that one. I like that one a lot.
But I don't think she would give you an intelligible answer to that.
In a strange twist, to wrap up our headline section of this, we are going to stick with the airline community here for this. Guess this is what airlines did for in-flight entertainment, well, way back in the day. This is from the LA Times back September 8th, 1935. Let me go to my deal. So apparently, New York, you've heard it so lovely they named it twice. Oddly, September 7th, 1935.
It's actually so nice they named it twice.
Thank you, whatever. Yeah. The headline reads, airline stops flying low over nudist camp.
Oh.
American Airlines pilots have received instructions to stop flying low over a nudist camp just east of Roselawn, Indiana. The airline offices disclosed today. The practice of flying low over the area, the office said, was begun at the request of air passengers who frequently flew the Cincinnati to Chicago route, some of whom had begun carrying binoculars on the flight. Pilot Joe Westover said that the passengers, quote, like to see the nudists scurry behind trees.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Is it when you buzz them? What's that called? We learned it from Top Gun, I think.
Yeah.
They would buzz the tower, flyby, right. Absolutely.
In
1935, that was an issue. People were flying with binoculars so they could watch. I think that's
I hope nudists were a lot better looking in 1935.
Probably thinner. Than they were today.
Yeah, sure.
Probably
sure.
Well, it was the Great Depression. I mean,
it was all relative, I'm sure. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
Didn't have a lot of food.
In my experience, people that want to be naked in public should not be naked.
Oh, most often. You are correct. You're correct.
Rarely does the twain meet.
That's true.
Yeah. Indeed.
It is 25 minutes past the hour.
Right there.
We're in the middle of hour two. Coming up, we have so much more. Our drinking word is butt chugging. But at this time, let's turn everything over to Al Perkins because that's the way he likes it.
Yes, thank you.
Entertainment!
Well, in sad news, a beloved comedian is fighting for life and. I really thought they were going to call the game this morning, but they haven't.
I thought they were too.
Aren't they like standing by with their hand on the plug?
Well, I thought they were waiting for the news.
The finger on the pulse.
Because if Mark is listening, I was with him when the Bob Hope thing happened. Mm. Netflix has an excellent movie added, and I think so does somewhere else. A couple movie suggestions, a couple new releases, and a funny story about the show Cops.
Oh.
I saw that.
I'm using
I haven't seen that. That's awesome.
I may not be using the word funny, right? But
funny, haha, uh-huh. Not funny like, ooh, weird.
Okay. Funny like, ooh.
Yeah, funny like that ain't funny.
By the way, I have one sound clip that you asked me to put together, and I have one that you didn't that I thought was just funny.
Oh, okay, yes. So this last, I think, Thursday, while having a throat procedure done, Joan Rivers suffered cardiac and respiratory arrest and full-on arrest and was placed on life support. And there has been all kinds of shit on Facebook today. So I thought I would just give you a little basic info on the hypothermia protocol and what that is. So what they do is if someone goes into cardiac arrest and they get, it's called return of circulation, you get the heart rate back, you get everything going, massive MI, anything witness that you have a time down, you cool them and you give them...
Myocardial infarction. Okay.
Like that's a heart attack on MI. Mm-hmm. So you have this event, they would take you to a cath lab or something to check your things and then they try to initiate cooling immediately. And because it's very uncomfortable, they're going to get you down to like, and I honestly don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but it's like 32 to 33.5 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
So they get you down there. They give you a lot of pain medicine because you're probably in pain. And then they put you on a lot of sedation because you can't shiver. Sometimes they'll even put you on a paralytic because shivering is you're trying to raise your own metabolic rate, and the shivering and goosebumps and stuff like that will raise your temperature. So they kind of shut down your whole thing.
Hence they cool the coma.
You. They cool you for 24 hours, and then 91 degrees, okay. And then they warm you slowly. Some people do it. They warm you with the same blankets that they cooled you with. They just turn them to warm, or like in Arizona, they do it to ambient air, and they just take you off to room temperature and let you slowly rise up. They take off
the
medications.
They open a window.
Right. No. They take you off the medications, and it's to preserve your neurofunction. It slows down metabolism. It's all that kind of stuff. So that's what they're talking. All these things I've been reading on Facebook. I'm like, oh, my God. What? We've got to help.
They're misreporting so much.
It's just what people are guessing what's going on with this. Like, she just...
I saw a lot about, like, organ donation and and things like this, and I'm like, whoa.
It's just a common thing. But the 24-hour period is long since over. If she was waking up, she probably should have woken up. Which is, we're kind of out of the window. You know, you cool for 24, you warm for a certain period of time. So that was just, in case you're listening and you've been reading posts on Facebook from, like, people that are out there, none of those things are accurate or true. But, and I don't know that
I haven't read a ton of them,
I'm not exactly sure that that's what they're doing, but from what I've been reading, you know what I mean? I'll be the person that kind of says something without any information. But that seems the most likely result of what happened, and now it seems like we might be too far out.
So now it kind of looks like trip over the cord. I'm not trying to be
crass. That's what
I mean. That's, like,
and sometimes they'll give people a little bit extra. She may be following some commands. She may be moving a little bit.
Well, they said that she was breathing some on her own, but isn't that something that can just be natural?
Yeah,
like
there, that does.
That's what I thought. That was the only thing I saw that I thought.
So it's just the state of, like, how long she was down. The respiratory part is the part that's scary. You know, we can get your heart back, but it's the not breathing, that, like, an anoxic brain injury, just how bad that is. So. And I just thought they were waiting for a better news cycle. Like, I was thinking they didn't want Joan Rivers to die on a holiday weekend with B-level anchors. Oh, you know what I mean? I actually had that thought that they would wait for, like, Tuesday morning for a fresh cycle. And
right.
I'm and sure then some Joan people, has that written down.
And that's scary that there's somebody out there thinking of that.
Yeah. But there are people that
I'm sure
are so,
Joan has already
but that are so savvy about the entertainment business. When I was in L.A. with a friend when Bob Hope died, and we were with news people. And there was word that he had died Sunday night, and there was people that were like, weren't drinking because everybody knew that it was coming. So there were some people that were like, well, it's LA and it's Bob Hope, and I mean, the fucking airport's named after him. If he goes, we're all going back into work. And that his wife had made the choice to hold the press release till Monday morning so that people didn't have to come in from work and they didn't have to do scrambles. They could just come in, do everything that
day.
Was prepared and not screw up everybody's Sunday night. Like, Doris was that aware of, like, how the LA community worked to do it savvy. And I thought this might be the
I thought the exact same thing.
Maybe they were just doing it for a, you know, wait for a better news. You know, it sounds crass, but maybe not turn Hollywood on end.
On Labor Day weekend and do it. I thought the exact same thing.
So I was kind of, that was kind of in the back of my mind. If Mark's listening, he'll remember that. That was just a very, very weird trip to have everything be about Bob Hope.
Right. I remember you talking about
that.
So that's that. And so there was just some nice stuff put online. There was a really nice when she went on Johnny Carson to push Enter Talking, and her and Johnny Carson just have a really funny exchange. That's not what this clip is.
No, that's not what this
is. But if you get it, because that's like 8 or 9 minutes, but it's a wonderful interview that says a lot about their friendship and their timing together and how well they worked. And then she, and I think it's just the way this ends that struck me as so moving, but she did I can't remember what the name of the show is, but it's an actual song from a Broadway show.
It's actually her season's greetings from a 1966 holiday show. Julius, I forget his name, it's called Pieces of Eight.
Yeah, is it Jules Stein? Julie Stein?
Not Julie Stein.
Jules Verne?
Jules Monks.
But anyways, it's she performs it on a Christmas special, but it's not really a Christmas. It's kind of a year-long song. But
right.
So,
and that's long I talk.
I thought this was lovely.
Sounded
legit.
In the world. Jones River.
Season's greetings. Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. Bon voyage and April Fool. Lots of Easter cheer. Joyous tidings on your birthday and on March 17. Won't you be my Valentine? Happy Halloween. Have a lovely Labor Day. Please enjoy Good Neighbor Day. Happy Payday. Merry May Day. Have yourself a nice BJ day. While you're living, good Thanksgiving. Shine on Harvest Moon. Button up your overcoat. Peace on earth. Get out and vote. And come
I just thought that was lovely. The come home soon and the late, like, it was just, oh, like, how timely.
I thought that was good. And the other audio clip I had of her, it's from her show called A Piece of Work, the film that she did a couple years ago. And I've not seen the whole thing, and I really would like to. This is property of IFC Films. This is Joan Rivers taking on a heckler.
Oh, I hate children. The only child that I think I would have liked ever was Helen Keller, because she didn't talk. It is just...
It was very funny.
Yes, it is. And if you don't, then leave.
It's funny if you have a deaf son.
I happen to have a deaf mother. Oh, you stupid ass. Let me tell you what comedy is about.
Go ahead and tell me.
Oh, please. You are so stupid. Comedy is to make everybody laugh at everything and deal with things, you idiot. My mother is deaf, you stupid son of a bitch. Don't tell me. And just in case you can hear me in the hallway, I lived for 9 years with a man with one leg. Okay, you asshole? And we're going to talk about what it's like to have a man with one leg who lost it in World War II and then went back to get it, because that's fucking littering.
That's awesome.
That's clever. Fucking littering.
And he didn't go back to get it. So, I mean, I hope for the best.
I do, too. It really is sad, and it's one of those... It just affected me. There's been so much death in the world for so many different reasons, and it's none of it's good, but just she's just so iconic.
But and to lose her and Robin Williams in such a short amount of time, I mean, that's just... It's a huge blow.
It's a huge hit.
Sure. So, I mean, and, you know, even though the talent-free daughter...
Yeah.
Who knows how to make money.
I mean, she
knows how to make money. But, yeah, I just wish her the best. And what has to be very, very difficult.
I was telling my mom it wouldn't surprise me, I mean, nothing's coming out at this point from it other than just the statements that Melissa has made and the speculation by everybody else in the world. It wouldn't be a bit surprising to me, knowing her, that it's in her contract. If I go down, you fucking follow me to the grave. Oh, every camera rolls, everybody's on board.
We're doing a show in hell.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
And the show
from
got
knife
canceled.
To coffin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The show got her. The show was canceled.
Oh,
when?
Which, today.
Oh,
I think
really?
It was today.
Wait.
The
Joan Knows Best or whatever it's called?
Whatever it is.
Oh, Joan Knows... I didn't even know it was still going on. I just assumed...
Yeah, no, and maybe it's not Joan Knows Best. There was something with Fashion...
They canceled the taping for 2 weeks. They've halted taping for 2 weeks of Fashion Police.
They said seven shows left and they...
That would be...
Canceled.
Then that would be Joan Knows Best. Okay. Because they're... Okay. Fashion Police is all the time. Mm.
Yeah, and although, I mean, mean to everybody, I think Liberace has forgiven her, hopefully.
And he's dead, too.
And, so. But we really need to know where Victoria Principal is. As long as we're checking.
Where's like, Pam?
Why do we need to know that?
Oh, my God, don't you remember the huge feud of her and Victoria Principal?
Oh, I actually totally forgot about
that. She gave Victoria Principal's phone number out on the air because she hated her so much. Just fucking funny.
Yeah.
Just funny, funny woman. And if you, I have it. I have
and you
it,
either love her or you hate her. Like, Aaron's not a huge fan at all.
Of
at
Joan?
All, of Joan Rivers.
Too young.
And I think so. I think that that's part of it.
Victoria Prince looks like shit.
Yeah, and she's married to a plastic surgeon.
which was
90%. Go to him.
90% of the jokes.
That's not a good calling card, is it? Like, that's just not a good card to have. Like, you know, my husband's a plastic surgeon.
Wow.
No, don't go there.
But she, I mean,
wow.
She did change her style in the 80s, but it was always hysterical.
And the huge feud with Carson?
Sad.
Yeah.
And then it's
come out
that she did call him,
mm-hmm.
and that the wife wouldn't put him on the phone.
Yep.
That she did try to call, and that French... And that was one of the sad things about that clip I was talking about, where she's on for Enter Talking, and she's so... they're so excited to see each other that she wears the dress and the pearls... In the boa that she wore on her first time on,
okay.
She wore them again, and she was in the author segment, not in the comedian spot. And
okay.
They end up talking, and she can't tell a joke while looking at him. But he keeps trying to set her up for the joke, and she just looks at him and cracks up. So she's got to look kind of over his shoulder,
okay.
And they're just cracking each other up. And it's one of those things that, like, you know, Jay Leno always tried to throw those softballs,
right?
Not that he could ever throw one to Joan Rivers, but. Just the setup of Carson, but he thought she was so funny, and she just loved him.
Yeah.
It's a charming little piece.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's, but I mean, one of those people that when I was in my introverted, like, didn't talk to anybody living in my basement, like, What Becomes a Semi-Legend Most album made me laugh till I almost shit my pants.
And I don't know that I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know that I've listened.
Oh, I have it. I have it on my.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
Tim actually recorded it off of vinyl and put it onto a disc for me a couple years ago because I could quote it. I actually don't ever need to hear it because I can do the whole show for you.
What's it called again?
What Becomes a Semi-Legend Most. And in the back, it's the wedding picture of Charles and Diana, and she's like photoshopped into the corner holding a blender.
I love it.
And the old, and it was a play on the old ads from the 60s that, like, Judy Garland, Ethel Merman, big stars of the day would be wrapped in this, and it was for a furrier, and it was called What Becomes a Legend Most, and it was all beautiful black, and there were very, very famous pictures in black and white of women wearing furs, and the tag always said What Becomes a Legend Most. So her front cover of the album was What Becomes, and it was like somebody had put in semi-legend, and it's her duplicating the poses of the old things. But it's
of the old actresses.
And I go through Zia anytime I go somewhere where they have records. I just go through to see if I can find if anyone ever thought to put that fucking thing on CD because it was so fucking funny.
Well, you would think that'd be on Amazon if they it's not.
You can everybody has a copy of that album. I mean, there's not a gay alive that doesn't cling. That's like the Liza with the Z that everybody knows, the holy grail of gaydom.
I'm gonna predict now that if we lose her, everything will be reissued. Yeah. Everything.
And it was funny because on Barbara's first post, like, that was what kept coming up, was like how, oh my God, I'm so hungry.
Oh.
How every, whatever you, oh, okay, I don't even care what. But how every single person that talked about knowing Joan Rivers of a certain age all brought up that same album.
I've only heard of it. I've never heard it, but I've heard of it.
Oh, we'll get you a thumb drive with it because it's one of the funniest fucking things
I'd
that's
love
ever
to hear
happened.
That.
Oh, those are lovely.
Oh, they're kind.
So moving on just slightly. So Netflix, of course, changes their movies monthly. Things came, things went, whatever. But I have to tell you, a must see movie from the 90s came on Netflix. No excuses. I think it's on Amazon Prime as well. It's called A Simple Plan. Billy Bob Thornton. The douche from Aliens. He played a douche in, like, Bill Paxton.
Oh.
And
I love Bill Paxton. He was in Big Love.
Yeah.
Wasn't he also in Titanic?
Uh-huh. But he almost always plays a douche.
Yeah. He was in Twister.
Uh-huh. Twister.
Oh, yeah.
Twister.
Holly Hunt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Same song.
Similar song.
So early in his career, he played a douche.
Same.
To me, he's always typecast in Aliens.
Butt trigger.
Okay. But, so anyways, it's him and it's Bridget Fonda in one of the best screenplays, best movies of the 90s. It's called A Simple Plan. It's on for free. It's genius. So that was the only thing to watch for your monthly thing. In the movie theaters, Love is Strange, though, just opened with John Lithgow and Alfred Molina playing a gay couple of decades and decades that lose their jobs, lose their homes, end up going to their family to find some place to live. It's getting excellent reviews. Once again, the Motion Picture Association of America is in huge hot water for giving it an R rating.
Okay.
When they barely swear, there's no violence, there's no sex, it's just the fact that it's an adult couple in love. And that, you know, no one is dying, there's no victims, it's just an upright love story. And the MPAA, who of course they don't have, they have no, the Motion Picture Rating Association.
Thank you.
Because they get in trouble all the time for kind of gay bashing and giving movies R ratings.
Okay.
When, like, you can blow somebody up, shoot them in the head and say fuck 15 times and get a PG-13.
Yeah. Sure.
Because you kept the fuck to 15 times. This movie doesn't even have the F-bomb that much.
Okay.
It's just about adult themes.
Got it.
Mm. Meaning an adult older couple in love is suddenly
gay.
Like...
Yeah, right.
Now, Buddy Early had something on about why all the lesbians were there, and that made me laugh. Of course all the lesbians are there.
Yeah, and of course it's playing right now in at Camelview.
Oh, Camelview.
So when it's playing at Camelview... I say it all the time. Those people in Scottsdale know their fucking movies.
Mm-hmm.
So Love is Strange, go see it. It's just opening up. It's in limited release right now, but it's going to open wider, and it will be a big deal come Oscar time because the reviews have been, like, amazing.
Yeah, it just looks like something on a ball.
Lovely performances from everybody. And then also out, it's on Netflix. You can stream it. You don't have to rent it. It's called The Trip. Okay, this movie is seriously for, like, three people in the world. But it's Steve Coogan and this guy named Rob, whose last name I don't have, and I don't feel like...
Steve Coogan? Wow.
Yeah, okay. The guy from Philomena.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. It's and the like first him. One was called The Trip, and it's him and this friend who's popular in England. He's an actor, comedian in England. Not as famous as Steve Coogan.
Okay.
And they just go on a tour of like 6 restaurants in northern England. And so you're just going, it's kind of like a travel log food porn movie where they like, you know, you see the food prepared in the kitchen, they bring it out, and these two just talk. And they're not playing themselves for real. They're kind of playing like loosely adapted versions of themselves.
Like Rick Steves?
Yeah, so they're kind of assholes. But the funny thing is they have all these conversations about movies. So they're just talking about movies, and they can both do incredible imitations. So as they talk about something, and they're just completely ad-libbing everything. So they'll, like, start to talk about something, and the one turns into, like, a British interviewer and from a chat show in Britain. And it's a real person that he's imitating. And I guess if you're from Britain, that part's even funnier. But then they do the interview the other person, and they completely ad-lib an interview to talk about the food that they're eating or to talk about the view or the drive or the car.
So this is a comedy, not a... like a dramatic thing.
Oh no, it's hysterical.
Got it. Okay, because that's hysterical. Where I was like, wait a minute, why? Okay, I got confused.
So it's this really nerdy comedy.
Okay,
like one whole cover, and then so that came out a couple years ago. A friend of mine turned me onto it a few months ago, and I was shocked and horrified that I had never heard of this movie because it was made specifically for me.
So when you say three people,
oh yeah,
you, Buddy Early, do you think,
and the guy that recommended it to me, and my friend Gina.
Okay, right. Okay.
And then, so now they put out a sequel that was just released this Friday. It's at Camelview, and it's called A Trip to Italy. And this time, they decide they're going on this trip to Italy because and it was all about the secondary character, who's not the secondary character, he's just not Steve Coogan.
Okay.
He wrote an article and did like a piece about the English trip, and they've asked him to go to Italy and go to 5 or 6 restaurants in Italy. So they do it. The food looks amazing. They're drinking wines. You get a gorgeous travelogue of, like, the Italian coast and all these things. But meanwhile, you're getting these people having whole conversations as all the characters in Batman and all the different ways that Michael Caine's accent has just progressed into, like, yodeling. And what's wrong with Bane? And what's wrong with, like, why can't Tom Hardy? Like, why can't you understand anybody in the movie Batman? So they actually go through with Christian Bale being unintelligible, Bane not being able to stand, and Michael Caine yodeling, and their voices, I mean, they just get them down perfectly.
That's awesome. Very funny.
Then Hugh Grant does it, like one guy does Hugh Grant, like, spot on. Okay. So he does a whole thing as Hugh Grant and tries to talk, to, like, he picks up a woman as Hugh Grant and does lines from Notting Hill and stuff. So it was like, it's fucked up, but it's so funny, and it's just beautiful. All you want to do is go watch a beautiful movie about, like, the Italian coast.
Okay.
Filmed gorgeously, and it's all outdoors, it's all live shots, like they're really driving the car, they obviously have they're in a follow car, you get gorgeous helicopter shots, they it was just amazing.
And just, so that second one is
the first one's called The Trip, the second one's called The Trip to Italy.
To Italy, okay.
So all you can hope is that they're just going to keep making these trip movies, because they're fucking funny. The whole thing with Batman and Bane and Michael Caine's accent turning into yodeling.
No, I appreciate the fact that they mock that, because that's irritating.
And it's all set to the music of Alanis Morissette, as they go on and on about
the
artistic merits of Alanis Morissette 20 years ago, and why a completely self-obsessed, self-abusive woman in her 20s was very appealing at the time.
So it's those two just kind of going around.
Yeah, and the guy on the right is just, his imitations just kill you. And he only wants to go to Sicily so he can reenact a scene from The Godfather.
Okay.
And they do competing Robert De Niro's, competing Al Pacino's. And it's like two movies in a row that I just giggled through the whole thing. So much
Very
fun.
Very cool.
Out today is all the entire catalog of Donna Summer from the 80s has been released on something called Driven by the Music
and
Publishing.
And you're here?
Well, I already own all of them.
Yeah,
I really didn't need any of them to be re-released.
True.
But
that
they're
is
all
true.
Available on iTunes. So I would recommend, I have not looked yet to see how they're doing them because it's been album only for everything up to today and I haven't looked. Donna Summer the Wanderer, download Cold Love and download Nightlife. I Believe in Jesus. download the whole fucking album. I think it's like $7.99. The album is brilliant, but they're all there. But start with The Wanderer. Get that. It's been out of print for years. It's amazing.
I actually own the CD. I've had it for, it's been in my...
Yeah, because it came briefly into print in like 1994 and then went away again. So those of us that were waiting at the store that day and bought a copy. But it really, I think it's her best CD. I think it's the best thing she ever did. Kind of got lost in that whole disco sucks, what to do with a black woman that's singing rock. It's a completely rock album.
Right? But
very good. And then in a little bit of, well, it had to happen sometime, a crew member on the set of Cops, or as my friend, as someone I know called it, Cops Tackling Black Guys.
No. Was this on Cops or South Park?
No, on Cops.
Because I'm waiting for South Park to take that on. And in
Ferguson.
Yeah.
So something went down in a Wendy's restaurant with the cops, and the crew was inside, and the cops just opened fire, and what did they do? They shot a member of the cops crew.
Like a cameraman or something.
Yeah. Mixed it all up, and
oh my
whoopsie
God.
Daisy.
Oops.
Luckily, it's all on tape, so there won't you know, there won't be a lot of protests, because they're going to find him.
Right.
Because he's the guy in the other shot.
Yeah.
Keep him in frame. Uh-oh.
They shot him because he was a black guy?
No, he was a crew member that got in the middle of the crossfire.
No, he just accidentally, like...
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's
so the
I'm
guy with the terrible camera shot that's going... the whole time?
Yeah.
That guy got shot.
You've seen the show.
But that's how...
I may or may not know people on the show.
But she was in the show.
And no, I've never been on Cops. Hand to God.
They don't go after white women anymore.
Or white boys.
Unless you're on crack.
Or white boys.
Right.
Yeah. Flip a coin.
Except for that one kid from Boston who kept saying fag. And then the cop kept saying it back. I don't want to talk to my mom. She's a fag. Oh, don't call your mother a fag. Shouldn't call anybody a fag. It's not. Seriously, there's a whole exchange.
I don't guess Boston. I've seen. The cops,
Cops Boston.
The cops Boston.
Yeah. And it's just the accent that they say fag.
Is that all that you had?
Yeah, that's it.
The only other thing that I was going to add to that was, and it was 17 years ago this week that we lost Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, August 29th or 31st?
August 29th. Yeah, it was 31st. I think it was the 31st.
31st. It was like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. 17 years ago, 2 days ago. I remember exactly where I was and watching. Yeah.
I do too. And the only other thing that I had was, and it ties in to gay-ish stuff with Brad and Angelina.
Oh, got married.
Getting married.
And they were always waiting for gay marriage to be legal, so I think they just took it as, well, legal enough.
Legal-ish.
Yeah.
Ish. But I think that it was really cool because they... did you guys see anything about, like, her dress and all of that?
A little bit. Something about how it was designed off of children's drawings and...
Her veil.
Very sweet.
The whole veil was all of the kids' drawings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did. I don't know if I have a clear enough picture, but there were only like 22 people there. Mr. John Voight was not invited.
Oh, they don't talk.
Mm-mm. Well, mm-mm. He was a little bitter about it. He's like, well, I guess it was lovely. You know, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were 20, maybe 22 people.
Pick up a phone, Dad. Call me.
Yeah, right?
Oh, no. You don't want to. Yeah, she didn't want to hear from that butt chugger.
No.
He blabs to the press. He spills beans out of school. Right? Oh. He spills secrets.
But I thought that was, I was excited for them because I think that they have waited for a long time. And I'm not remember it was like, are you Brangelina or what was it with him and Jennifer Aniston?
Bennifer. I don't know.
Something.
Yeah. All I know is I've never forgiven them for hurting my Jennifer.
And I don't disagree. I thought that was horrible. Sad. But they've stayed together. They've
got 23 lovely children
like
the Duggars. Lovely
children from everywhere.
They just don't have a bus to drive them around on like the Duggars have.
So,
Or a robocall.
or a robocall. Right. Either one.
Poor.
So that's our entertainment wrap up.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Are you ready, Kat?
Good God, of
course.
Here we
go, Kat, with sports.
Tonight in sports.
And other stuff.
All those fun gay puns that you've been thinking of for the Rams, they're over.
Butt chuggers.
Now it's Cowboys.
Yeah.
WNBA is happening right now. The NFL was apparently somewhat listening to my soapbox rants this week.
Oh.
And 10 Things to Know, Tuesday, September the 2nd, tonight on sports.
And another stuff.
Nicely done. Well, so we'll start with the happening right now, WNBA. I'm looking at the score. Nicely. Stop stealing my shit.
Hey, I gotta steal your shit. I said last week I was going to steal it.
Good point.
I said I was stealing.
Stealing my material.
Totally.
In any event, WNBA happening right now. There's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Phoenix Mercury are leading the Minnesota Lynx 89-69. It looks like...
Could be a winner.
Looks like it could be a winner.
Very nice.
All in honor of Palmer's birthday.
Now, is this, how many games out of what do they have to play?
This is the deciding. This is the third out of three.
Oh,
Palmer.
Yeah. This is it.
So in this particular series with the Minnesota Lynx, the Mercury won at home, victorious, went on the road to Minnesota and lost in the last couple of seconds. Down to the wire, they were leading the entire game in game two and got down to the last about 5 minutes and really started to kind of lose momentum. And the Lynx managed to take it away by about 2 points. It was a very close scoring game. Okay. And tonight we're looking at...
That's now 90.
Live updates.
Look at that. Look at that. Look how into it you are, Kat Carlson, ladies and gentlemen.
Butt chugger.
She's a techie. She's a techie.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Butt chugger.
ESPN, hello, Joe.
Thank you, no.
Also on hello,
apparently an offensive.
Poor Sharon was trying to find a place to stream the game because, of course, we don't have any cable or anything. We're all like... on-demand streaming. We're hipsters like
you
that.
You come back one more week, we're going to have a lecture about that.
We need to charge
first of all.
I know. Some,
first
those
of all.
Kids need to be there paying rent.
I didn't
get the rages, but unions are going down.
Finally, somebody knew that.
Somebody was nine earlier.
Settle down. I still have HBO.
Oh, all right. Oh, you're good.
That's a good call.
You're
redemption.
Right.
Redemption granted.
Well, that was a squeaker.
No. Actually,
she got the momentum back in the last couple seconds.
The only thing we actually missed by not having, you know, standard cable is sports. Like, that's the only thing that you ever miss is the live sports because they're really hard to find streaming.
I have every kind of fucking cable you can have, and I have a hard time finding half the sports they're talking about. And spinning.
Well, that's illiteracy.
Yeah. At least we know.
Or dyslexia. It's not PSNE.
The more you know.
That's dyslexia.
So, congratulations, Phoenix Mercury. So, assuming
don't
that
jinx them. They haven't won yet.
What? They're like 20 points ahead.
And how much?
Women
how much
don't
time?
Score that fast. Like a minute.
No.
They
trust
don't,
me, women don't score that fast.
No. They so, don't. But I don't want to get into another argument about the Mercury.
You
so.
Are funny.
74-93 with a minute to go. There will be an update at the end of sports and other stuff.
All right.
throw much faster than I
got the game cast, bitches.
Very fast.
91-69.
Oh, yeah?
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
About a tall girl.
Your internet's faster than I am. In other news, the Dallas Cowboys have signed Michael Sam, and they saved the NFL from stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'm amazed at how quickly this escalated, because just earlier today when I sent you that link,
it
was just that they were thinking they were going to bring him in and look him over, but now you say they've done it.
I think it's brilliant.
I think there's a lesbian on that team.
I think the fact that
they moved
he's
in together
on the stupid Cowboys
quickly.
Irritates me, but Buddy might be excited about that. He loves the Cowboys.
There is no
Did
accounting for taste.
Did they sign him to the practice squad or the team?
Stand by and let me read.
Thank you.
Oh, she's going to pull off
questions.
That donut
back, back in your pants there, butt-chugger.
Not today, Satan.
Uno momento, por fuck you. Uno momento,
Settle
por fuck
the
you.
Fuck down.
No, that's chill factor over here. What? He's the one who always is interrupting. I simply was asking an interested question.
Excuse me, can we get an instant replay to see who's been interrupting me this entire segment?
I'm going to just go by default and point to both of them.
Yeah. Judge's rule, Marilyn Reiner.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've had too much crown. That one.
It's over here.
My good friend Peg over there.
Kat Carlson, you have the floor.
The Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, is never afraid of attention, and he signs the NFL's first openly gay player to the practice squad. The team needs him. The whole thing was starting to stink.
You made that sound dirty.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that was an interruption.
Just wait. That's okay. He's forgiven.
See how that works?
The whole thing was starting to stink. Michael Sam, after performing well during the preseason, really wasn't good enough to earn a spot on any NFL roster, not even as a practice player. Leave it to the one NFL owner who doesn't mind a media distraction... sarcastic air quotes, very intentional, to step up and sign Sam, the NFL's first openly gay player. According to multiple reports, Sam will be added to the Dallas Cowboys practice squad as long as he passes a physical. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones relishes the media attention that many teams fear will accompany Sam into the locker room. This is a guy who wanted to draft Lightning Rod Johnny. Who's Johnny Football? What's his last name?
Manziel.
Nobody
Manziel.
Cares.
No, yeah. Nobody cares.
Johnny Football.
This is a guy who wanted to draft Lightning Rod Johnny Manziel before his son talked him out of it. He told ESPN the magazine that he still regrets passing on Johnny Football. He built a ridiculously lavish stadium, and he signed T.O. Mm-hmm. Even better, Sam is no carnival barker. He's the anti-T.O. This isn't a publicity stunt. Sam makes football sense for the Cowboys, who are weak at a defensive line.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Though he's starting on the practice squad, don't be shocked to see Sam get a promotion. So Sam was released from the Rams. We're all very sad about all the jokes that could be made.
The innuendos,
seriously,
yeah, a lot.
Like I was writing down puns.
Yeah, because yeah. they flowed out.
They
of
were
you.
Just out there. They were.
They could
everywhere.
Write themselves
like down everywhere. Downstream of a butt chugger.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got through the ram effects of that before we
the ramifications.
Ramifications.
Yeah.
Figured there was gonna be something right there. Boom. All right, kids, it's the end of hour two. We got one more hour to go. We are in the middle of sports and other stuff with Kat Carlson, who is filling in this week for the lovely and talented and missing in action, Katie June.
Sorely missed.
Who may be.
Or may not be.
Enjoying the wins of a game, which we will tell you. Do we know?
Stand by. Oh, 45 seconds. No, final, 96-76.
The Mercury wins, 96-76, right here in our home.
Non-butt-chuggers.
Very nice. Very good for them. Yeah. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We have Thoughtful Vulgarity coming up. Our drinking word is butt-chugger. And you stick around. Join us in the chat room. We'll be right back on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Once again, it's 9 o'clock in Phoenix, Arizona. We don't really care what time it is where you are, but you're listening to us. It's Q-Talk America, The Show with Clayton McKee. That's me. I am sitting here alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. We round out the cast every week of a live show that is infectious, and most critics have called good for the time slot.
Still on.
We're still on the air. Exactly. We may not be good, but we're all you got
I
for the budget.
I thought of a new one.
No, who's going to take us off?
Save a ram, ride a cowboy.
Oh! We've got a new parody.
Very nice.
I love it.
By the way, for those of you who are used to how we roll, we have a drinking word, and tonight it is butt chugging.
No! So,
or butt chuggers.
Or chuggers. So,
verb or noun.
Any way that you can figure out how you work that into a sentence or just working it in apparently is part of the problem.
I would also accept an adverb.
Oh, I didn't know.
Butt chuggingly delicious. Oh, that's an adjective.
Magically.
We are in the...
Oh, yeah, that is.
Yes.
Coming up later this hour, we, of course, have our final segment, which is called...
Butt correct.
Thoughtful Vulgarity.
Running down the street, butt chuggingly.
Doily.
Yeah.
Before we get to all the other hilarity that ensues later in the hour...
Butt chuggingly, we'd be more like trying to hold in your chug.
Quickly, I ran from the scene.
Yeah.
Squeezing.
I got my shot.
Not even.
Let's continue on. We're in the middle of our sports and other stuff segment with Kat Carlson.
My God. Thank God.
What an all ugly, right. ugly place.
Mm. So anyone that's mentioned football to me in the last month or so has seen me get up on this gigantic soapbox about NFL and domestic violence and what a different world it may be. Mm-hmm. And while they haven't gone to no tolerance, they seem to have changed their policy on punishing their players for conduct, including domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. Well played.
I know. So on Thursday, Roger Goodell announced a new discipline policy. In a letter to all 32 team owners obtained by ESPN, Goodell wrote that the league fell short in its treatment of the Rice case, which is the one that set me off in the first place, and effective immediately, violations of the personal conduct policy regarding assault, battery, domestic violence, or sexual assault that involve physical force will be subject to a suspension without pay of 6 games for a first offense, with consideration given to mitigating factors, as well as a longer suspension when circumstances warrant. This will not affect Rice's circumstance. Mm-hmm. And a second offense will result in a ban from the league with the opportunity to apply for reinstatement after 1 year. So apparently the NFL listens when I talk at the Cash In Country.
They do. Mm-hmm.
When I stand there behind the bar and tell everyone why I'm not supporting
completely
the NFL this year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's fantastic. The literal memorandum reads, domestic violence and sexual assault are wrong. They are illegal. They are never acceptable and have no place in the NFL under any circumstances. Our personal conduct policy has long made clear that domestic violence and sexual assault are unacceptable. We clearly must do a better job of addressing these incidents in the NFL, and we will. Earlier today, I sent NFL owners a letter that identified specific actions we will take to improve our response to domestic violence and sexual assault. These actions include the following. All NFL personnel will participate in new and enhanced educational programs on domestic violence and sexual assault. We will also increase our outreach to college and youth football programs. Families will receive detailed information about available services and resources, both through the club and independent of the club. These resources and services will be available to employees and their families on a confidential basis. And violators of the personal conduct policy regarding assault, battery, domestic violence, and sexual assault that involve physical force will be subject to enhanced discipline. A first offense will be subject to a suspension of 6 weeks without pay.
I like that without pay.
I like that
without
too.
Pay.
I agree. Yeah,
yes.
That's a big
deal. Mitigating circumstances will be considered. Severe discipline will be imposed if there are aggravating circumstances, such as the presence or use of a weapon, choking, repeated striking, or when the act is committed against a pregnant woman or in the presence of a child. A second offense will result in banishment from the league. An offender may petition for reinstatement after 1 year, but there is no assurance that the petition will be granted. These disciplinary consequences will apply to all NFL personnel.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, and yes. The 6 weeks, you know, when they say like a week without right. pay, meh. But 6 weeks out of 16
is significant.
You know, it's right. much more significant. Absolutely. Right. So
it's not it's the zero start. Tolerance that I've been it's calling for, but it's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no. the other thing right. Is another rant, not the, Jesus Christ, the Colts mm-hmm. Owner. Has been got DUI
yeah.
and from how it was described at lunch today was caught with a Walgreens pharmacy in his trunk that could have like taken down a zoo.
Oh, I didn't read about that.
But hookers and blow, man. Hookers and blow.
Yeah, he gets suspended for 6 games. You're the owner. No, you have to take away his profits for 6 games. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like
yeah.
you don't make any money off the hot dogs, the jerseys, uh-huh. the stadium funds. Like that's all got to go to charities and women's
Absolutely.
Groups. Like not mm-hmm. women's groups, but Mothers Against Drunk uh-huh. Drivers. Like. Pick the charity
right.
of your choice.
Sure.
Throw a little ice water on that bullshit.
Well, yeah. right.
And that's actually the headline that kind
down,
of led me to find this because I was just like, oh, well, why don't I just jump on my soapbox tonight yeah. and just go on this rant? And then I found the article where they've mm-hmm. actually, on Thursday, this last Thursday.
Yeah. And I actually saw the press conference that the
I
guy gave.
Too. And I was going to send it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, well, somebody heard
mm-hmm.
us.
Absolutely. I was really impressed with that.
Look at that.
It's a start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah. Podcasting gone well. So there's that. That's gone too. What? So all I have left is my trusty and now go-to 10 things to know today.
I like how in week two, it's already the go-to.
It's
already it. It's a weekly segment. It's not
like a butt-chugging routine.
It is not as popular as our crime scene footage, but it's getting there.
Listen, let me put this down. How do we make crime scene footage a weekly thing?
Well, we have to have enough fucked up 911 calls.
Can we just make shit up?
If you're that good at writing, absolutely uh-huh. you can.
Let me think yep. about it.
Yep. Because
I don't want to commit because I'm overcommitted as it is, but...
yeah.
Oh, you and Katie, you're neck and neck with that yeah. lesbian.
Yeah. No, I'm nowhere close to her.
But because, what, do you ever say no to anybody?
No.
Oh, sure.
Because she says yes to every goddamn thing ever.
Yeah.
Would you come to my envelope opening? Well, sure, I'll be there.
Nope, can't make it, sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
She
well
and
done.
Barbara
well
Seville. Done. If a Circle mm-hmm. K opens, they show up and just parade around it.
Is there press?
Well, Barbara Seville needs the attention.
Yeah, of course
so.
She does. Yeah.
So wow. I mean,
kind of like Jerry
that's
Jones.
What I said. Uh-huh. Is there press?
Yeah.
She's listening.
So
she
these are
me.
Again 10 things
I
to know.
10 things to know today. This is apparently put out on the Associated Press wire every day.
Oh wow.
I know. Yeah, so I just googled today's. Yeah. I know.
I think we should everybody.
This is my new thing.
All right, good. Do you even read it when you're not here?
No. 2 weeks running, I've read it on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Well, I don't read about sex stories
every
day.
Fair enough.
Oh,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, maybe I do.
Somebody
don't.
Text
you can't
Ernie.
Prove it.
Start us out with number 10, and we'll work our way down.
Oh, we're going to go backwards. Okay.
Oh, no. Was it like the top 10
it's
list?
Like a, it's like a, yeah. like a Letterman. I can go to number 10.
That's a good. Let's start like
at 10. Oh, and the Cougars.
the Cougars?
That'd be the Mercury.
Mercury one.
There are plenty of Cougars.
Did you not see the link I just posted? The final score. And we've already talked about.
I already knew it because my screen had updated to the final.
It's much faster than mine.
If
I didn't need it, I would just flip the computer onto the ground too. But sadly, I'm already working two jobs.
All right.
Number 10. What tennis's hottest, grossest ritual is? The passing of the sweat-soaked towel has become one increasingly common ritual that stands apart for its ickness. I have no idea what this is about.
I have not, but however, I remember back in the day, if Andre Agassi would have had it, or what was it? What was the guy? I want to say Peter.
Is this like
Peter Sampras?
Peter Sampras. Just give me the towel.
Lots of eyebrows, though.
Give me the. I don't care. Give me the towel.
I was going to say, is this like groupies? Just getting
I'm guessing it is. It's like when remember Elvis used to wipe his hand or his brow with a kerchief and throw it.
Yeah, but that's audience? Fucking Elvis.
Yeah,
this isn't a tennis player.
No, there's nobody like Elvis anymore.
Yeah,
we gotta look up to Serena Williams.
Seidel and I used to follow this band called the Blondes. Yeah, I have a towel from when they threw
is it
out.
Still sweaty?
I did not want someone
to sweat.
No,
it dried.
No, but if Rick Springfield were to sneeze on anything, she'd lose her cookies. Continue on. Number 9, Kat Carlson. Number 9.
Number 9. Florida town suspends two police chiefs after ticket quota claims.
Oh, look. Now, there you go.
There's something to know.
Topical.
Very relevant.
Number 8, how South America hackers rattle Peru's government. Says emails were stolen by the Lusec Peru collective from the Peruvian cabinet's network, helped precipitate a non-confidence vote, which the ministers barely survived.
It also helps if you read your script voter before vote. You get here.
Yeah. I've read it twice.
But better.
Well, there's
just
that.
Now.
Actually, you're doing better than Katie because she never reads it. She reads it live off her screen. She doesn't even. She doesn't even kill trees
she
and
gets
print
it from Marnie. I know.
Secrets.
Numbers. What are we at? 8, 7.
Number 7.
Number 7.
Surrogate offers clues into man with 16 babies. The industry that catered to foreigners has thrived on semi-secrecy, deception, and legal loopholes, and Thailand's military government is vowing to shut it down.
So wait, they're just there's kids.
They're selling babies in Thailand.
Okay.
Know. Well,
I didn't investigate these. I just read them.
No.
Well, maybe next week you'll be more prepared.
Oh.
Well, you're Buck-chugger. No John. You're no John Walsh.
Sweet, I'm coming back next week.
That's what I heard.
At this point,
election time.
This may be a 5-person show before we're done. And then if Buddy comes back, we got 6.
Pull up a chair.
I do miss Buddy early from time to time.
Yeah,
and his peanut butter sandwiches. Last week, I brought a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
In his memory?
In Buddy Early's honor.
That's awesome. I have Bugles sometimes.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nutter Butters.
I don't understand Bugles. There's no taste.
The importance of me in his life, he texts me to find out if I can know how to change out a parking light in his car.
Did you see I helped him?
Yeah, I know. Did you post
the solution?
And I think you may have got me out of it.
Thank you.
I love when he said, women know about cars. Lesbians know about cars. He's Shut up.
Yeah. He was stunned.
He's funny.
Stunned.
Well, that's funny.
Number 6, stoned driving concerns rise as states allow pot. We see the legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington as a wake-up call for all of us in highway safety, says Jonathan Atkins, executive director of Governor's Highway Safety Association. It's a thing. Now they're worried about.
I would too. Yeah.
Oh,
because you already go into a little bit of a trance in highway driving, anyways, and then you add trance like drugs, and you're in some trouble.
No, you know, it's been a long time since I smoked pot, but I do remember the paranoia.
Oh, okay.
Vividly.
I don't.
Yeah. Every time we would leave the house, we were convinced.
I certainly think that's a fair thing because if anything you take, I mean, for God's sakes, he shouldn't have been driving on just the pain that was affecting him the other day, let alone any other medications.
Well, the Percocet.
And you shouldn't be driving on any of that. I think that's fair in regards
to
pot. But the only thing that I heard of, and I think I read it just today or yesterday, somewhere, and I think it's in Colorado, they're doing an audit because somehow all of a sudden tax money's missing.
Yeah, I read that.
And I don't know if they bought donuts with it or what they did. But
I read that today that there's already tax money. Somebody's already
skimming.
Get
people to lunch.
Yeah.
Snacks.
Subway sandwiches for everybody.
Ice fucking challenge.
Oh, it was an Iceman challenge.
That was really good. Maybe a Filiberto's burrito with the ice bucket.
I'm hungry.
Okay, but what if we did the ice bucket challenge with Jolt Cola?
Oh my God.
Yes. You, yeah, and you've seen those people
before.
Did you
guys ever have Jolt?
Smoked a joint and had a Jolt Cola or a Red Bull. Oh, you've seen those people.
It's now called meth.
I've been those
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're
I had a six-pack of Jolt when I was in high school right before
really
a basketball
fast.
Game.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember Redline?
Yeah.
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 Have a lot of those.
Okay.
Oh, in the 80s, going to Vegas and doing a wake and bake. Get up, smoke a joint, and have a big cup of coffee, and you're like, God, I love everybody.
This is the best city.
Yeah. Wow!
I love the bath. I love the whistle.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that I've missed anything in life, but you guys make it sound so wonderful.
But it's because you're running through the casino stoned. Like you have all the trippiness of being stoned, added with caffeine, and you're just banking it. Like,
We gotta go to the show. We're gonna go to the show. We're gonna go to Luxor.
But you're delightful. Like you're not a cokehead because you're stoned. So underneath, you're very calm.
Okay, got it.
You're being calm at a really fast rate.
Gotcha.
Number five. Detroit's historic bankruptcy trial to begin. The city's lawyers will attempt to convince a federal judge that its plans to wipe out billions of dollars in debt should be approved. That starts today.
Well, the opening arguments were today for that. I did hear that on the news.
You kind of have to. Detroit, you got to find some money.
You know what?
What sucks about this to me.
Start looking in the meth house.
To me, as somebody who looks at so many things and sees like some sort of a rebuild potential for things, and I don't know if this makes me any good to be any kind of a leader at all for the city because I just want to buy everything and paint it. But I see.
As a good geisha.
I see so many things and news reports in regards to that. There are great houses that have just been abandoned and like there are entire streets blocks of houses that you can buy for a quarter
pennies on the dollar
you gotta live there. I mean that's the if I wasn't so in love with Arizona and loved where I live and everything, I mean like I could take $25 and I could go
buy
I could buy a block of houses,
call it Neverland,
and live. That's
awkward.
That's just awkward and rude.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, but
butt chugger.
What a happy coincidence.
That makes it even more awkward, butt chugger.
Well, I don't like that either.
That's one of Neverland's most popular.
Number four.
I'm tall enough.
Ride backwards to the Jesus juice.
Right. But anyway, I just thought.
To the hits of Michael Jackson.
If I could tolerate living in Detroit, there is so much opportunity for cheap living.
The cheap real estate and the opportunity someday.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Supposing
that nature doesn't just reclaim Detroit,
but I mean it's most of the Rust Belt too. Like if you don't come up with an answer to the Rust Belt,
then
it's gone.
Your city was built on steel or automotive or anything industrial,
Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, anything along the Rust Belt. I mean, anything in that whole Great Lakes area, but all they had was steel. And then as far over to Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah.
It was called Bethlehem Steel.
Yeah.
That closed down. And
I
that
lived
shut
there.
The,
depressing motherfucking place.
Sure.
Sad, sad place.
Sad trip.
Number four.
Number four. Syrian rebels set demands for freeing the UN troops. I know. Al-Qaeda-linked militants holding 45 peacekeepers want to be removed from a UN terrorist list and be compensated for the killing of three of their fighters in a shooting with international forces. Syrian rebels, you know, like week after week after week, you could read and talk about just
the
horrible, horrible place in the world.
Bunch of crazy fuckers.
But number three, the U.S. drones have targeted people in Somalia. A senior Somali intelligence officer says the American military conducted an operation against the extremist Al-Shabaab network and its leader. Not even going to try and say it.
European.
Like, it's only 20
it
years
European.
Too late. You know what I mean? But
sure, go ahead. But I mean, I don't know. I think the drone thing is just really scary to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just really.
But it ain't.
But they're really scarier. So a lot of people.
Yeah.
What's really scary?
My whole peace vibe kind of goes away when you're like, oh, you can have a drone, send it in.
You can plant something in somebody's living room and they don't even know you're there.
Yeah.
Do
send it.
It
in.
Yeah.
Do it.
There is a woman in somewhere.
Big surprise here. Number two, the Islamic State group is accused of war crimes. Amnesty International says the extremists have carried out a systematic campaign of mass killings, abductions, and ethnic cleansing in northern Iraq.
That's pretty much every day. That
that's
you can
pretty,
read it.
Yeah.
I don't think you need
Monday.
To know that today.
I'm pretty sure that's Tuesday.
Monday. That's on every list of every day.
Yeah. I didn't write this list.
I understand. Somebody bored at the AP did.
I scanned it twice.
I like it.
And number one, the Russian... Russians gains what?
Hmm?
Hang on.
All right, work it out. Work it out. Take your time. Take your time, butt chugger. Hashtag it is not
drink.
Okay.
Look.
Sit back, sister.
Russia's gains cloud Obama's assurances to the Baltics. The president's efforts to convince former Soviet republics of his ironclad commitment to their security are complicated by the West's inability to halt Russian aggression. So Russia's still, like advancing and advancing and advancing into countries mm-hmm. that aren't theirs. And Obama's like, we got your back. Kind of.
Maybe.
I still don't know what I'm missing about this, but isn't Ukraine landlocked and they're fucked anyway? How do they get anything in and out of anywhere? No. I don't get...
That was what Crimea was for.
Yeah.
It was the peninsula where the whole Russian Navy sat. Crimea was always mostly Russian, and then the Ukraine comes down, and then into the I think it's the Black Sea or the Mediterranean is the peninsula of Crimea, and that always had the Russian Navy. That's where the Russian Navy on that coast. You know, Russia goes all the way over to like the other side of the world too, but that's where their Navy always was. It was always Russia.
Almost to Alaska.
So and Ukraine
I can see
was
it
where,
from my house.
Yeah, and honestly, Bill Maher always says that the Ukraine was kind of lost in a poker bet. Like it really was. Just they never meant to give it up. I think it was Khrushchev that like, oh, whoops, I lost that. And then they had to do.
And then he gave his ring to the guy from the New England Patriots.
It just all kind of went wrong, and they had to get all the nukes out of that area. But it's always been half and half. Like, they never really meant to give it up. And then they always had Crimea. So this is kind of one of those, like, the people inside that area should decide, like, do we want to be independent? Do we want to be with them? Since the predominance of people in Crimea are Russian.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, that's because they have the Russian Navy. And Russia was never given up their Navy. Like, can you imagine if we told us, well, you can have America, but you just can't have the coast. You know what I mean? Just, yeah. Well, we're going to stop you like Buffalo-ish. New York City's going to be Canada.
Buffalo-ish.
Yeah.
Just a curiosity, and only because that part, that whole Russian thing, I just don't pay enough attention to. How does that affect our lives?
It really doesn't.
The ISIS thing, the crazy motherfuckers there. Putin is a crazy son of a bitch, but I don't get it.
The great and the terrible thing about being an American is that none of it touches your everyday life.
Well, ISIS could.
Could, but did they today?
Right.
Did it's they not yesterday? It's not on that list.
Right, see? You don't have to know it today.
The interesting thing that I heard today on the radio in regards to them was that now, you know, because there was the second beheading, which they now are saying was done at the same time, and they're staging their releases of videos, yada, yada.
Sure.
So, I'm just echoing what somebody else said, even though I do kind of agree with this. They're really not man enough, if you will, to come here to do this. They're doing people who are...
I don't want to tempt them.
No, but I'm saying is they're going... They're finding people who are stupid enough to go there.
From Minnesota.
From wherever in America.
I'm telling you, there's from a guy Minnesota, in have you noticed
there's
that?
A guy in San Diego. That, yeah. I mean, one of the guys was from San Diego.
I know.
I mean, so, like, they're not man enough to show up here because we can obliterate so much of them. It's like, they're going to pick
don't
and choose the
we
people.
We would know exactly what to do half the time.
Right.
You know, like, that kind of shit. And I'm not saying a beheading.
And
or
we,
this,
we overreact to every single thing.
Hello, Ferguson. So, you know, you have the, and when I say Minnesota, it's because there were like three guys that went over. Did you see that? There were three because they go to Minnesota because there's such a huge Somali population.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they're like, and from Minneapolis. And then a guy went over, and from Minneapolis. And I'm like, Jesus fucking God.
Yeah.
We stop talking about Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Can make them be from like Montana or something. No. Where, you know.
Hey, Montana's a beautiful state.
It is a gorgeous state, but I just want him to be from somewhere other than Minnesota.
So, right.
You know?
Exactly.
Anyway.
So I have one more thing that's kind of sports and other stuff that I really thought somebody was going to bring up.
But,
rapper 50 Cent is continuing his scorched earth campaign against boxer Floyd Mayweather by challenging him to read. The lyricist challenged him...
Yes.
What?
I did not hear about
this. I have not. No.
Oh, it's been everywhere. The lyricist challenged the fighter to read a single page of a Harry Potter book and said he will donate $750,000 to the charity of Mayweather's choice if he does it. The latest jab at the boxer comes as people around the country are doing the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge to raise money and awareness for the devastating disease. If you can read one full page of a Harry Potter book, Floyd, I'll give $750,000 to whatever charitable organization you want, said 50 Cent. Fuck the bucket of ice. He then tossed a bucket of ice water off his desk. Now, from what I heard today, we were sitting around at Zeteos in Scottsdale, and we were talking about sports and different stuff, and this came up for like the fourth time this week, and it just cracks me up every time, that now 50 Cent has changed it and said he just has to read one Dr. Seuss book. Because I think he has to read The Cat in the Hat because he thought that the one page of Harry Potter might be
too challenging.
So I don't know the terms. Like, does he have to read it, like, out loud on the air?
Well, that's hysterical.
Somebody has to record it, obviously. How would you know he did it?
I mean, just
now,
hysterical.
Can't they just borrow something like the George W. did? Wouldn't it be the same thing?
Yeah, exactly. There is someone else who couldn't read.
Yeah, I think it'll be similar with the upside down book. That'll be fine.
So just
that's
I had not heard of that.
Very funny. And then with the ice bucket challenges, one of the cutest things I've seen lately is the cast of Newsies closed a week or so ago, and all the cute boys from Newsies stood outside of the Niederlander, and they did their ice bucket challenge. It was a lot of cute guys, and they're like tank tops and stuff getting wet. So if you
ever Google that,
it's fun.
You want to see young athletic boys getting wet, you know,
well,
PG.
There you have it.
PG search situation.
An NC-17.
Well, that's your mind.
Yeah. It'd be a rated R if, you know.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. If they liked it and they weren't victims of something. Oh, and then goldderby.com, and I can't think of the name of the writers, the writer that is all over it, but we talked last week about the snub for the Normal Heart and all the things it was snubbed for. Well, I guess there was immediate outcry that Matt Bomer was snubbed because he was gay playing gay and he was playing a naked gay man that was having like sex that he enjoyed and that he does suffer and die, of course, like all gay characters have to. But that beforehand he was happy and naked and playing a gay character and that there was talk of like homophobia in the voting system. And one of the so then they went through and they were bringing up Laverne Cox not winning for Orange is the New Black and Jesse Tyler Ferguson who and they all watch like there's a list I don't know if you're aware but like you find out after you get nominated then you submit
an episode or a piece
and one of the things that they were saying for one of the things that they were saying was that and I'm going to forget his name too the guy from Sherlock and from he's on Sherlock and he's on Fargo. No, the other one. Martin Freeman. He submitted in two different categories, so that's what they were saying he might have won because he was up for Fargo for lead actor and he was up for Sherlock for supporting. So the voters got to see him in two clips and just may have been more fond of him. But they were saying against Matt Bomer. No, not even possible. And then for screenplay.
Matt Bomer.
I always get that wrong, but it doesn't matter. But and then they were saying like Larry Kramer that one of the big robs was Larry Kramer losing the Emmy for The Normal Heart and his rewrite of his play to make it better, you know, make a television adaptation out of his own very personal work. But so they went into the Jesse Tyler Ferguson and with the specific episodes, they all like hands down agreed. Like even the ones that were saying, no, you're being kind of out of line for this reason or that reason about homophobia. They're like, oh, no, the Jesse Tyler Ferguson. They're like, go back. They're like, yeah, Matt, yes. Larry Kramer really fucked up. But the Jesse Tyler Ferguson like meets every bit of criteria and clearly had the best episode submitted. And they're just saying it's just kind of a campaign. And it was because his episode is the one where, I don't know if you watch Modern Family, but where Jay is uninvited to the wedding. When Jay isn't supportive and he tells him he's not coming and he has to stand up for like to his father and, you know, Ed O'Neill is saying, like, I get it, I'm supportive, but why do we have to do a ceremony? Why does this have to be in public? Why do you have to flaunt it? And they had a very, like, honest kind of discussion about it. And so they went through that one, and everyone was like, yeah, there's no way he should have lost that. Like, the Ty Burrell episode was not anywhere near as good. And then when they got to the Laverne Cox, and they did one of my favorite things where they were in the comedy thing, and even though Laverne Cox, her episode was the one where they take away her her mm-hmm. medicine, and yep. she's starting to transition back, and she's having all the problems. Sure. And it was all her for the whole hour. It was a very Sophia-centric episode.
Right.
They're saying it was never funny. Like, if they had submitted that as best guest actress in a drama, that yes, she absolutely would have won. It was an Emmy-winning performance, but they said it. They put themselves in the comedy. Mm-hmm. They made the choice, and that Uzo Adabi's, or however you say her name,
I know you're,
Suzanne,
yeah, I
that her mm-hmm. episode was just funnier. Like, she mm-hmm. was, because they were saying, like, oh, you went with a cartoon character who is kind of, but she is playing a lesbian,
mm-hmm. sure.
you know, with lesbian tendencies, but they were saying, like, that was based on the content. So it's a very interesting. It's on my Facebook page. But it's really interesting to hear these complete nerds go on for 43 right. minutes sure. about pro or con homophobia within the voting system and just going like it was so inside baseball. It was just nuts. It's kind of like the link that I just provided for the Michael Sam thing. Like if you really want to go crazy and get inside baseball, there's a link there as to why Michael Sam got cut specifically right. on like what he does and the defense patterns and that it made sense. So kind of the opposite side to the homophobia.
Yeah, right. I don't think he was cut because he was gay.
Oh, I don't either. And especially if you read that thing that I put the
I'm
link
excited
to
read that. Yeah,
and it was funny. It was another lunch day at Z Tejas. Mm-hmm. We got there really early and we ended up with a bartender and two women and we were all just talking football and sports and it was very manly almost.
And you were with
but I liked it too.
Butt chugger.
We're running rather way early, so if anybody else has anything else they'd like to bring up, this is our time to do it.
The only thing that I thought was, and it was one of my headlines, and I chose the Uzi instead, but is Uganda Pride.
Okay,
you've heard how, you know, I mean, like they were killing homosexuals and putting them in jail, mm-hmm. and it was the you know huge law. Scores of Ugandan homosexuals marched through sprawling botanical gardens in the lakeside town of Entebbe, if I'm saying that correctly.
Oh, Raid in Entebbe. Remember that movie with Linda Blair and where the airport that got, the hijacked airliner, Raid in Entebbe. Yep, it was a great movie.
I saw it yesterday.
TV movie.
Their first pride parade since a Ugandan court invalidated a controversial anti-gay law. Many people were wearing masks because they didn't want people to know who they were because there are people right. that are out there taking pictures and then for fear that they would then be arrested.
Mm-hmm. Or worse,
right.
And we saw that, and worse.
But they expected more than 500 people to attend. I guess fewer than 200 turned up out of fear. I mean, sure. How could you?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? But the 200 that showed up, I guess, had a really great time.
And the punch was fantastic.
There was no overcrowding.
First time you got in butt chuggers convention.
No one had to wait in line. It was good.
Drink tickets were cheap.
We are here to walk for those who can't walk, those who are afraid to walk in the Pride Parade. We're here to celebrate our rights. The Constitutional Court ruled last week that the anti-gay law enacted only 5 months ago was illegal because it was passed during a parliamentary session that lacked a quorum. And the thing that I found interesting was that it was overturned on this technicality. I figured it would take a true active Congress, but some lawmakers have pledged to try to reintroduce the same legislation, and I'm sure that that will happen. They've already put through an appeal. This was the third annual Gay Pride event. The first one was in 2012. It turned violent after local police tried to break it up. A lesbian activist told the paper, this time they had been given assurances by the police that they would go ahead with the march, and the police did not show up. There was something else that when I went, so homosexuals face threats in Uganda, including evictions by landlords, and many have fled to neighboring countries such as Kenya, where I just don't think things would be better, but apparently, where the anti-gay sentiment is less pervasive. Many homosexuals are victims of extortionist campaigns by people who threaten to reveal their homosexuality to police. So, you know, mm-hmm. give me money and I'll stay quiet.
That almost sounds like the extortion that the federales do in Mexico. Like, they'll release you for speeding, mm-hmm. But you got 20 bucks?
Cash?
You got 20 bucks? Yeah, right. You can go.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Homosexuality has been mostly a taboo subject in Uganda until a lawmaker saying he wanted to protect children from Western gays introduced a bill in 2009 prescribing the death penalty for what the bill described as serious homosexual offenses. The bill was revised to remove the death penalty and instead have jail terms of up to life for convicted homosexuals. Watchdog groups and some Western governments condemned the bill as draconian and unnecessary in a country where homosexuality had long been a criminal offense. If I'm not mistaken on this, and I wanted to look it up before I came, I just didn't have a chance. They did a special, I think, on 2020 with a preacher.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Oh, yeah. This law was all brought to you by the American evangelicals.
Absolutely.
Yes, I remember that.
The streets and kids with
direct result of them realizing they were failing in the U.S. with ballot initiatives that the Karl Rove
that's what
elections.
It was that's right that's
yeah.
right
mm-hmm. And it was a direct response to what to do with that money, what to do with that yep. energy, and I can't think of the main preacher that went over and did it, and now he's all like, that's not me, and they have pictures of him like shaking hands and kissing.
You're
the
talking
guy.
About the white guy.
Oh yeah.
And I'm there's a black guy that I'm talking about that was from Uganda.
Oh no, but I'm talking about the
part in this tent that, and they were making watch porn.
Oh right. But I'm talking about the white guy that went over there with this
to
law
start it
and
right.
got them all stirred up. Oh yeah.
I remember watching that special too. Dateline or 2020 or whatever it was. Right. I remember that.
It was awful. It was just people lining the streets with signs of, you know, kill the homosexuals. And it's 4-year-olds.
Right, who have no
idea. It's like a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old with an Uzi.
Yeah.
Not their fault. They don't know. They're being handed the sign, this gun that can kill you.
I mean,
yeah. So good for them that they were able to have Pride 200. That's a big deal.
It's a start. It's a start.
It's a start.
I'm sure our Pride here started.
200 very brave people.
That's very,
very
true.
Very brave. Oh,
and
my God.
And some were saying, well, they wore masks.
Good.
Good.
Good for them.
Yeah. They were there.
Kind of like Pussy Riot when they got released from prison and then they just went on, they went around the world just spreading their message of like, fuck you.
Right. Uh-huh. So, but I was really excited to see that article, and after all of that, just that hate and the fact that they shoved people in these tents, revival tent kind of things, and showed gay porn, and then they were like they were making these children
in a lot of
and
instances
the women,
they have to
children
charge for that.
And women, correct? Pee Wee Herman
the fair,
showed up they
at
had
the fair,
some they people,
right?
But truly, it was very interesting how they would do that, and children and women. That was the big deal.
Yeah,
let's show them that.
Doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
Now, Kat, you've been rather quiet. Anything you want to interject or add to our before we go into our big final segment? Because it's really odd that we're running this early.
I feel like I've been participating.
Well, no, you have, but you've been a little quiet on things. Anything you've thought of? You want to interject? Any format changes you'd like to make? Since apparently.
Have I made format changes?
No. Would you like to suggest any?
Give her something to throw.
Look,
it's all right.
Listen, it's entertaining the chat room.
And by the way, all paper is recycled here, so don't worry about that. It's we are eco-friendly,
semi-environmental.
All lights are CFL. I mean, aside from the disposable part of it,
semi-environmental. I have a recycle bin. I just put it out with the garbage.
I sometimes use it. I'm not sure if I'm putting the right things in it.
I just figure put it all in there, sort it out later.
That's what I do. I put a lot of stuff in that I'm like, it seems as though somebody should
They'll
be recycling.
If
it's
it
got
out.
A logo on it, I put it in there. Because I'm like, if I'm not supposed to put it in there, there should be a big sign.
Yes,
or somebody should
recycle.
Be hanging out in my shop that says, nope, no.
But I do love how much time I spend rinsing out containers, like washing. Mm-hmm. As part of my dishes is washing out containers and food things so that I can recycle them.
Yeah,
and like,
totally.
All the to-go boxes from restaurants and shit like that.
That's a big
part of my day is washing that shit out to get it into the recycle.
I know.
Good for you.
Yeah, I always will do that. I don't understand not doing that.
I sometimes have so much. I actually use a neighbor's and I fill hers because she doesn't fill the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I just like, I call her. I'm like, are you going to fill the whole bill? And she goes, no. I'm like, I'm coming over.
Yeah.
I'm bringing over a 30 gallon trash can full of shit. I'm doing.
More water, please.
Oh, wow. It just feels so weird to be running this early that we're not crunched for time.
I really didn't have much of entertainment.
Well, and I felt like I ran really long because I ran until 10 o'clock last week. So I was like, let's cut it down.
No, but we chatted until 40. You know, the first 45 minutes was catch up and meet Kate or Kate. What's your name? Kat.
I forgot.
Kat.
Still haven't met her. 45 minutes. Still not sure who you are.
Fuck you. We've been doing this show
from the top.
2 years. You don't know her name.
You barely... Yeah, but that's not unusual.
Yeah.
That's really every show, 45 minutes in. Oh, let's start headlines. Like,
no.
I don't know what your pie chart actually says.
I love that she knows it.
But let me tell you, that's not what happens.
No, I'm going to revisit pie charts.
Please do.
Yeah, more pie.
Although I do feel bad that I'm not on any fads or I'm not nearly as hipster as Katie June.
Oh, it's not hipster because she always abandons everything.
Well, sure. She's I mean,
I don't know how it would go. If we were to add you as a fifth wheel on this show, I don't
That'd
know
be
how
so much fun.
I don't know how it's going to go because we already talk over each other enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Buddy was here the other day, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
That
the other
fun.
Day. What was it? Yeah, Monday. I don't know. When was I here
I don't
last?
Know. Saturday. We do, Saturday.
We try to do these shows on Tuesdays. We'll see how it works out for us. I don't know. Well, I guess what we'll do is how many questions do you think you're going to have tonight?
Oh, I found a website of them.
Oh,
so.
Well, then that's yes. fantastic. So let's do this. Oh, I got to. There's things I have to do in production. I have to do
this button.
Yeah, there's so much I have to do. And I try to make it look
button.
All seamless, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, because you announced the introduction.
Well, I do that too.
I know.
We are coming right back. It's our final segment called Thoughtful Vulgarity, but it starts out something like this.
And now,
there's
Thoughtful
probably one
Vulgarity,
in my backpack.
Where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
I know. We covered like religion and politics like once.
And I like how it still says 90 minutes, and then it's also one question.
Buddy Early made a comment about that. Maybe
yeah.
Should re-record.
We've
threatened to do it many, many times. Yeah. Just never. No follow through.
We need to work that out.
And we have a studio to do it in, too. That's the crazy part.
So weird.
We can record so many things in here. All right. Anyway.
Oh.
All right. So I got a couple here. I found a funny web page. Mm-hmm. So Maria.
I'm reading the general and thinking, who the fuck is Maria?
Have
I'm Marilyn.
Have you
Maria,
not met me?
Maria, Maria.
I'm Marilyn Reiner today.
You are. Say it softly. It's almost like praying.
It's almost. Thank you, Johnny. Not dead yet. I still haven't seen him in concert.
Maria.
Who? Oh, I'm sure you think that's Johnny Mathis. I'm like, what?
Well, no, I just know of him singing the
yeah,
song.
Yeah, I know.
No, because he read it on an album.
Yeah, everybody did. It was a great conversation this morning. I woke up by the weirdest thing. What is... Okay, we'll make that your first question. What is the most random...
Al Perkins.
...early morning phone call you've ever gotten?
You need to get to work.
Well, that's pretty much every morning.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Early morning phone call? Wow. Early morning phone call?
Well, people drunk dialing me from Minnesota.
You know what I mean? But yeah, like, what is the, what's like the most random thing that somebody just decided that, like, 6 a.m. was the best time to call?
Oh, in my 20s, that was me. just a group of Minnesota friends that it's 2 hours earlier there. And so during the 2 hour earlier time period, there's always going to be a phone call.
Like, it's midnight there, and you're stone-cold sober at 10, and they're like, right. Hey, no!
It's 4 o'clock
in
the morning
there. Which one had the weirdest like news? Two. Like, really? That's what midnight
oh,
your
it wasn't,
time?
It wasn't even, like, necessarily news. It was just calling to, you know.
Remember that
random,
time in
right.
eighth grade?
And then, this is fun. Wait, talk to Tozo. Okay, bye.
Wow.
And
not
you're
sure what that was.
Like, wow. Wow, no, yep. Hi. Yeah, you guys having fun? I'm having so much fun. And then it just would go from there. And you know, you talk to everybody at the house. So I would say that would be the most random kind of thing. I know I don't believe I've ever received a phone call that was just like for a thing at that kind of hour.
Okay.
A specific anything. No.
Kat?
I'm not fun.
I have horrible phone etiquette, and I rarely answer my phone to begin with.
Yeah, so some of these stories might have to go back to like.
That's why I text her
some
before.
Some of these may have to go way back, but
to like when you're even you can even be laying
time,
in bed
wait,
listening
no,
to the answering machine. Yeah. I figure she was good on this one.
You call him back.
Yeah. No. I have a story. Long, long ago, I thought it would be a fun idea to have a boyfriend.
Wow.
Marnie just spit. I'm sorry.
I feel like there should have been a harp noise to take us back in time.
No butt chugging there, Marnie.
Yeah, exactly. In the mouth, dear. In the mouth, butt chugger.
I don't think I have any.
In the butt.
No, but if we're going back to this.
I like that. Yes.
Let me tell you how many times I've almost wrecked my car over that.
Or depending on how exciting the story's going to be, it could be.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Everybody's had that phone call too. Well,
I'll do my very best. I'll do my very best.
Okay.
So a long time ago, I decided it would be a good idea to have a boyfriend. So I find the
I tried
most,
it once too.
I know. I tried. I found the most homosexual man I could find.
There you go.
Clay Aiken. No. You were taking Clay.
Way to hedge your bets.
Stop it, Lance.
Close,
Bass.
But apparently he had a coke and a blowjob problem.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome to my boyfriend. Yeah. So,
well,
clearly,
that's a blow problem.
Carry the one.
Yeah. Clearly, it wasn't going to work out, and so when it did,
I wonder why.
Which part?
I don't know why.
With so many caution flags, I'm not sure where to stop.
Pick one. Just pick one.
Well, no, I bet nothing went south. That was part of the problem.
Yeah. Everything was north in this story.
What? Anyway.
Eye contact was made.
When it all went bad.
She kind of manly.
All right. I've been waiting to use this line all week. You have the con.
Thank you, number one. So when it went bad, it went real bad and real public in a bar. Sure it did.
Yeah.
Sure it did.
As it does.
Oh, God.
So after the fight that we had in the bar, he says to me, well, I want my PlayStation and my sweatpants back. I said, fucking deal. I'll be at your house in 20 minutes.
I'm wearing one of them now.
Probably the pants.
I did love PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I drive to my apartment.
Angry and drunk driving. I had a girl.
Yeah. Angry heterosexual
angry
girl.
Angry lesbian.
Not yet.
Oh, no. Lesbian prior.
Yeah.
No. Just on a break.
Pre-les.
We were on a break.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pre-Subaru.
No,
that was her name in Salem when she was a witch. Lesbian prior here.
Hello, lesbian
so
prior.
So I drive to my apartment. Drunk
no,
and angry. I find anything that he's ever touched in my apartment and I throw it in a trash bag and I throw it in the back of my obnoxiously large Toyota pickup truck on lifted tires.
Mm-hmm. Such a good heterosexual woman.
A straight
woman.
Girl. Yeah.
It's fabulous.
I make a good straight
unless
girl.
This is a country music video, you're a dyke.
Yeah.
And so I drive over to his house where he lives with his parents.
Oh.
Well played.
Saving up for Dance Academy.
Yeah.
By living with mom and dad.
Still drunk, I tear up to the house and I skid into his lawn.
Oh!
I get out of the truck. I pull his shit out of the bed of the truck. I throw it on the lawn. I go to get in the back of my truck.
I'm like, why are you in the back of your truck?
And?
Because I was drunk.
Well, duh.
So I go to get back into my truck. And here he pops up right in the door so that I can't, like, close my door.
I hate that.
Oh, my God, we need to talk. No. Sure don't need to talk. No. So that exchange happens, and I start to just drive away with the door open. Well, unbeknownst to me, because the truck was tall and the truck was loud, this motherfucker grabbed onto the back bumper, thinking that I would see him and stop.
He's a skater.
Well, he was skates. He was body surfing down the street.
Oh, my
like
God.
A Superman. Oh, so he finally, after about a quarter of a mile, lets go.
That's a long time, though.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Lady Weir was a hanger on her.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He loved Lady Weir.
Apparently he was fucked up, but the fun
he
part
loved
is,
you.
The part that answers the question is, by the time I got home, I had three messages on my machine. Because this is pre-cell phone. This is all
No, this is all
cell
answering phone. Machine, right.
Yeah, this is all
yeah, we,
on
we
my
figured
machine
that this
would
be a long time ago if you were a straight woman.
What?
I know.
I still looked like this.
With sweatpants and a stolen place.
Was the phone even invented at this point?
You know what? I think I had a pager at
okay,
the time.
Okay,
oh!
I think I had a pager.
143.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I get home.
And she's called
and there's
you.
Like a message from him. And he's like, you know, that was fucked up. Please call me. And then there's another message. I know you're home. Pick up the phone. And then there's a third message that says, hi, this is Matthew's mother. I'd like to talk to you. Yeah.
Mommy's
His mom calling. Called me to threaten me with lawyers for the damage done to Matthew.
He wouldn't let go.
That's what I'm saying.
He had some issues.
Yeah.
Couple extra, too. Yeah.
I hope he's doing well.
I wish
Sorry
him
about
well.
The scars.
He's scarred a little.
Sorry about your life.
Road rash, it'll clear up.
Yep.
I promptly went back to women.
I have, oh my god, that's awesome.
Same truck.
I have.
Yeah, well, yeah, you didn't have to trade anything in, but the
For
guy.
For quite some time.
Yeah. $49.95.
Yeah. Same truck.
Yeah.
Same song.
Possibly the same sweatpants. We don't know what happened to them in the story. I don't know that that's what he wanted back.
Don't bring up the PlayStation.
Yeah. We've been together so long, I just want my sweatpants and the PlayStation.
The whole affair lasted like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Honestly.
Still, I think I'd have something else in someone's apartment besides sweatpants.
Not in 2 weeks.
And a PlayStation?
Yeah. But he's gay, so they may have been tapered to snug his crotch.
I'm not totally.
I've known that gay.
They were skinny pants.
You Clayton were McKee? That gay at one point.
Yeah. No, not to my sweatpants, but I knew those who did it. When mama's comfortable, mama's comfortable.
I don't have
that.
Fortunately, I don't have any early morning phone call that was crazy. Like, I can't compare to your story. I pale in comparison to this. But the story I go to that regards to a phone call, it was just the weirdest thing ever and odd. And I don't know if I've told the story on this show or if I've just shared it with you all. Many years ago, again, we're going back to answering machines. We're in 1994. I lived in an apartment with a roommate behind what is the Five and Diner here at 16th Street in Coulter, right?
Were you masquerading as a straight woman?
No.
Yes.
Okay. No. I had a lowered truck.
Mini truck, and there's a magazine for that.
No, I actually still had the same white S10 I have now, oddly. It's a shocker. I keep things forever. Anyway, this was back in the day when there was answering machines, and we were fancy in this apartment because there was my roommate lived in the upstairs, and there was a loft, so there was upstairs, and there was a mid, and then you stepped down four stairs, and I was in the lower bedroom. But we were fancy because he had a private phone line, and I had a private phone line, landline, so two lines. So we could be on our overly sized, you know, cordless phones in the living room at the same time with two
you
different
could
phone lines.
Call each other from
watching
separate
Will and Grace premiere. You know,
like
that's
it.
What we were doing. So I had the answering machine, and you know you had different the cassettes that went in them, right? And they had the message.
Yes.
Well, back in the day, because I didn't even have a pager at the time, what we used to do was there was a cassette for Monday that said, "Hey, if you're calling me, you know that I'm at X Bar." It's Tuesday, you know, so Wednesday night
like
it was
Blake Shelton's Austin. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Right.
Got it. So
very well played.
Monday was the Winx was the Winx karaoke night, which is virtually where I met this one because that was Al No Pager at karaoke.
Chili cook-off.
Wednesday nights was BS West, right? So we would go to BS West. So the cassette was the BS West. Yeah, yeah. I am at BS West and I'm with Doug Wilkie, our friend Doug Wilkie, and we are hanging out. And at this time, Doug had hair down to his shoulders and we were sitting out somewhere. He was probably serving us drinks and we were making fun of everybody.
What?
Weird.
I know, shocker. So life goes on and I find some adorable Latino kid that I decide that I'm going to
more shocks.
I'm going to
Mexican teenager.
I'm going to kidnap and take with me. And he agrees to go. And I
sure.
And I don't recall, I don't think there was a lot of English involved in this transaction.
That's odd.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Doug, being the friend that he was, I don't know if Doug had a phone or if it wound up that Doug used a bar phone. It doesn't matter. Doug had back-timed it, so he knew exactly, he knew my setup. He knew my answering machine, the speaker was on, he knew all this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He back-times it from knowing how long it'd take me to get Pedro in my truck, get there, drive from Scottsdale to my apartment, and then a little buffer time, right?
Sure.
All of a sudden, the phone rings. We're there. Whatever hell's going on. All of a sudden, it rings, and it's my, you know, hi, this is Clayton. This is la la la. Leave a message after the tone. It beeps, and all you hear in the background is Doug Wilkie yelling, "Muy caliente!" And the eyes on Pedro were like, "What the fuck is going on?" And then Doug, and then Doug just hung up, and all of a sudden you're beep, and it goes away.
Well played, sir.
Yes.
That is one of my favorite stories about Doug Wilkie.
Well played, the Will.
That's fantastic.
I like it.
Yeah. So, fortunately,
the games we can't play anymore because we don't have answering machines.
Yeah. The answer, right. Now, I do, if I dig through something, I have a box that has a couple of those cassettes from the answering machine, and it's really fun to occasionally dig them out and listen to what messages people left you as to what was important in the day.
Oh, yeah. What was worthy of a message?
Oh, my God. We're going to see Titanic tonight. Can you make it? It's the premiere. You know, stupid shit like that.
Sure.
That is urgent.
Urgent.
Yeah,
we gotta go.
It is
very important. That's
Mr.
It's attempt number five to see it at the Cine Capri. God damn it!
Get here.
What would be yours, Al? Okay,
I just had the weirdest one today, and it was everything like beeped in my house, telling me that something was going off. So I was like, oh,
you thought Joan
so
had
tired.
Passed.
I did. I was worried about that, but then it was a random call from somebody that I knew like 10 to 14 years ago. I thought more like 14. According to the message today, it was more like 10.
A week and a half ago. Yeah.
But it was so hard to follow the conversation because I was so like not with it. But it was trying to find his ex-boyfriend's friend that he used to hang out here so he could find out where his ex-boyfriend had been buried so he could go to the grave and make his peace with this guy's death. And I'm like,
oh.
I'm like, I know who you are. Like, I'm really clear on that. Like, I remember you fondly. I don't know the person who's died is.
No.
So I don't know how to get hold of his parents. And then as I'm like, wait, to start again with, I'm like, okay, you need the friend that used to work at the bar that was somehow friends with your friend who might have information about the dead boy's parents to find out where. I'm like,
that's
and
a
I'm
lot.
I'm just trying to sort through this story. And finally, I'm like, and I'm like going through, like, send me a picture of this person or that person. I'm like, oh, you just need the person that used to work at the bar. Like, oh, here's his Facebook page. Leave me the, like, what?
Is there a graph involved in this? And, like, how to, well, yeah. Thank you. Because that's what I need.
A flow
well
chart.
Done.
Thank
I
you.
Need a flow chart. I you're need
the,
a graph.
You're the official flow chart.
It was just so
thank
random
you.
I was
because
so confused. Thank you so
to,
much.
To reach out to me, who, if anybody knows me, I don't remember anybody, let alone their name or where
I'm,
they
I'm
live.
Marilyn
plus,
Reiner.
Yeah, plus I rarely go to anyone else's
Rogers,
house.
I thought it was Rogers.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't enjoy going to other people's homes or staying there. So I'm like, why would I know where they lived? I dated three guys in a row for a bit of time. I never knew their
house.
Address. No,
sure.
Didn't know where they lived. Didn't
sure.
care.
Right.
And I would like, you could set me on fire before I would be like, spend the night at your house? No. No.
It's not going to happen.
Because no, I can't find it.
It's not set up like my house. So
that's
no,
right.
I can't. That's how I feel like Sheldon with that one. No.
No, I might stub my toe on the way to the bedroom.
I haven't fully investigated where to like sit and lay down yet.
It's not going to happen. So I might not be comfortable.
It was so random. Okay, so now we'll go to... Oh, Jesus. What? I love that the first thing that comes up is... Oh, and in case you're wondering, like I have watched so much Big Bang Theory while I've been sick that there is now choreography to the theme song.
Yes.
I like it.
And that, when I actually start to dance on the couch and do the choreography laying down, is I'm like, this might be the last episode. Might be.
I once created literal choreography to Time After Time.
Did you almost say choreography?
Don't you almost say,
are you from Canadian?
Butt
are you Canadian?
That makes you Canadian? A butt chugger.
Look.
Hey.
Canadian butt chugger. All right. That's really rude.
You don't know me.
Yeah,
no. You don't know
shit about me.
I like my TV loud, my homosexuals flaming, and my beer cold.
I like them flying off the back of my truck.
I know. Wow.
No
tailgating. Wow, we went to Texas really fast there, didn't we?
No, we went to my history.
She did drag a homo down the block.
Molly.
Yeah, hello.
But in her defense, she didn't put him there.
I did not drag Molly down the block. No, I did not.
Molly says, in reference to Al, did any of them have only one arm, Al?
And what color were they?
Again.
Do they country line dance?
Because again, I didn't sleep with the one with one arm.
How do you know?
Because he could do push-ups.
Been through this before.
I know him, and I asked him, "Hey, did you ever fuck me?"
Because I don't remember.
He said no.
Did we ever butt chug?
Well, no. In his defense, he was running in the other direction, so we're going to assume the answer
but
was
we don't
no.
Know. Right. Because was he running or was he running?
I like to add the bionic woman. Or is that Halloween? Yes.
That might be Halloween. That might be a little Michael Myers-ish.
No, anytime the bionic man or woman, it was like,
different than what he was doing.
Steve Rogers, bionic man.
Okay, what's something you know you do differently than most people?
It wasn't Steve Rogers.
What was his name, Steve Rogers?
Steve Austin.
Steve Austin.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
That's right. Well played.
Thank you.
Repeat
Let's
the question.
Go to Ojai.
Thank you, Jamie Summers.
Oh.
No, we'll go to Ojai.
Like, I don't know your name.
Yeah.
What's a $6 million character? Oh, I got that down.
The Bionic Woman? Summers? Okay.
Lee Majors. Lindsay Wagner.
The dog's name was Max? Come on.
Yeah. fun.
Heart to heart.
I love you. Oh, I love you.
Same with
heart
to heart. Same with the bionic dog.
Oh, I didn't know she had a bionic dog.
Yeah, it was
a, Max was the butler. I take care of both of them.
Yeah, the dog.
When they met, the dog was bionic.
Yeah, it was a German Shepherd.
I'm not that
bionic.
Old.
Was it bionic? Oh yeah. It
he became Dino-Mutt. With Blue what was, Falcon.
What was
what was
the dog? Jesus Christ.
Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt, don't you remember?
I can't say retard, but he can make that noise. Yeah. I need a judge's ruling on that shit.
Dino-Mutt's how Dino-Mutt talked. Dino-Mutt always talked like this.
We're having judge's ruling. So seriously, today I've been sober all day, which has been kind of rough.
You've been sober for the past 3 or 4 days.
Oh, for the love of fuck. So we're having this conversation about football, and it comes up to the Redskins, and somebody's like, I don't know why it's offensive. I'm like, change it to the Washington Chinks. Now how do you feel?
I'm back into different. Football right now. I'm back into football.
The lady goes, oh, I'm like,
I'm
right.
Following goes, well, what about free.
She's like, what about the Blackhawks? I'm like, it's a tribe. If we said the Washington Chinese people.
I was a Braves fan for a really long time.
Yeah. And I have no problem with the tomahawk. They used it.
So, but.
Scalps.
I mean, it is kind of graphic what they were. They weren't using it to cut the corn, let's be clear, or spread butter lovingly on it.
No, which is delicious. No.
I've seen it.
I love butter. What an easy way to go. My date's going badly. Which last could they like? Butter?
Butter.
Puppies?
Thank you.
Yep, see? Oh, we already talked about puppies. All right, what do you know that you do differently than most people? Besides butt chugging. Besides the way you consume alcohol through your ass.
Oh.
Gingerly.
For the record.
Only on Tuesdays. from anybody that I know, the way I put things away in the fridge or the pantry.
Oh, yeah, that system. Okay.
Yeah.
The OCD label.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that in action.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you'd like to help, please call.
I don't do it anywhere else. I just,
I'm pretty sure anytime I've ever been to your house, I've only been interested in beer.
We'll even take a minor in psychology at this point.
Yeah, but it's all front-faced. It all has to be put
so when you open the door, exactly. You can read the label.
Yeah. Same thing in the pantry.
I face the pickles in my
fridge. I can turn the bottle and read, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but why should you?
I know, exactly.
If you come to my house, you don't have to.
No, I know. I just know what it is.
I'm just telling you, you can drink faster at my house. You're like, oh, that one. Not, oh, that one. See, it took an extra second.
It's all just vodka. What was I going for?
That's a good point.
Yeah. fair point.
This isn't Windex. This isn't vodka. Good, we're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Well played, butt chugger.
Yeah.
Next.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
I feel like I relate to people differently than others.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. I'm with you on that.
I feel like I don't attach as quickly, and I feel like there's a weird buffer all the time. I don't know. I feel like I relate differently.
Excuse me. The fuck was that?
And then...
A slurp and a smack.
It's the first time she's had liquor through her mouth. Leave her alone. She's excited. So that's what that feels like.
Mm. Right.
And tasty, too.
Thanks to the shandy.
Clayton. But yeah, I always feel like there's like this connection that people get that I'm like, yeah, I got nothing.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
May I adjust?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks.
What if I said no?
Oh, I still would.
Yeah.
You haven't been around long enough to say
I came over here and Clayton and I were chatting about you, and we were talking about the fact that Erin just got the biggest kick out of the two of us going back and
forth
and giggling, and too much for her. She just thought that was fabulous.
Yeah.
And so I said to Clayton, I said, you know, I get the biggest kick out of Kat. Like, I am just sitting there, and I'm laughing, and I'm laughing, and I'm laughing. And I'm quite certain she's just laughing, like, at me, like, pitying me, but at the same time, so that might be that connection.
You're mixing me up with Al.
Oh.
I know. We're both really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was all. But as far as like the connecting with people, I just feel like, you know, sometimes you're probably like, yeah, shut the fuck up. Like, no.
Not yet.
Right? I hadn't.
I'm here.
Okay. There are other times.
I got you.
Butt checker.
All right, again, at this point, we'll take you read about psychology in grade school. Just call in and help.
Please.
Is the caller there?
Is 1-800
line two?
Come Tuesday.
You're on. Poughkeepsie, you're on.
You can take a second. Yeah. Draw your own license. Do it now.
I read one of them Dear Abby columns one time. Here's what I think.
You are qualified. Here's your certification letter. Go to it. Anything up to and including shock therapy, we're good.
Mr. McKee.
What do I do differently?
That you know that you just do differently than other people do.
Well, I'm just gonna throw OCD just into the ring. I mean, like, there's things I have to, when I vacuum, I absolutely have to stop. Marty.
Vacuum with seven different vacuums at the same time.
Do you do it like just two different directions?
No, not typically. I'm not my stepmother.
That was my mom's thing.
Yeah, I know. She used to fucking do that, and then she had a rake, and she raked it, and if you walked on it, she'd almost ISIS decapitate your ass. Yeah.
ISIS decapitation. It's a verb now.
She'd almost ISIS you right there. But no,
I love grammar comedy. Yeah.
No, grammar. I'm fascinated by what the vacuums pick up. So I immediately when I vacuum a room, I have to stop and open the bin and see what it is, and then empty it out before I go to the next room.
We're gonna need two of these people to call in at your earliest convenience. Don't stop to pee.
You'll collect $200.
Just get here if you can.
So that's one thing.
I don't care how you get there.
So that's just one. I don't know. If there's probably others. I'm not sure.
Probably. That's
if only we could look through the bin, the metaphorical bin, and see what's in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but I love that about
this fucking
you.
With you people while I'm sober is a good time.
But that's just OCD. There's so many other things. Like, I have to figure out.
You know, like, you can't continue a conversation if you go out the store and that flag is flipped over.
Oh, no.
I can't continue a conversation.
The flag on my front of my house, that if it gets flipped over from the breeze, I immediately have to make a beeline to it, unfurl it, and make it hang correctly before I can move and do anything
else.
You
can't do anything else. Yeah, it's almost like
I had to be freed from my OCD demons, or most of them, except for I have to watch The Big Bang Theory until it ends, and I'll never rest until it happens.
Yes.
So mine is that I don't hold. I went easy. I don't hold a pen right, which is why my handwriting is so horrible. Because I think I'm left-handed, but I would just always like it was just easier to like pick up something with the right hand.
I gotta see it.
But yeah. I hold it like I'm gonna like stab somebody with it.
Okay, wait a minute. Because first of all, in what world do you stab people like this?
Yeah, that's a good
gingerly. I want them to die slowly.
But pretty.
Poking at you.
It's
a Paula Poundstone comedy thing.
Poking at you.
My story's going to take a while. I want them to live to hear the end of it. You know what I mean? You get.
But they'd rather die. They'd just rather die quickly.
That's where they grab it from him.
Can you quit talking about Donna Summer and Cher? Please.
But it makes me laugh because people always talk about that little bump from writing on there, and I never could figure it out. And finally, one day, I'm like, show me. I guess I was absent the day that we learned how to hold a pen correctly. So my handwriting, and then I just start, it just turns into this. So seriously, like about 5 minutes into any writing, it just turns into like a ransom note. Like handwriting That's analysis awesome. Just turns into serial killer, and I think we might need help for that one too.
To connect to that, I do differently because obviously I'm left-handed, and I know Marn is too. But don't you write upside down?
I do not.
You okay?
At all? I had
Kara. My friend Kara does.
Yeah, I don't do that. A lot of left-hand people do. They write the upside down where they hung around. But I always have written that way because I'm not dragging my hand across the ink, because a lot of left-handed people will literally drag their hand across fresh ink when they write, and it causes you have shit on your hand.
But I didn't know
you were left-handed till just a second.
No, I've always been. Everybody is until they send.
I'm assuming you always were, since you offered well it so freely.
Yes.
Well, my grammar writer was left-handed, but back in the day was changed. They're like, you won't do that.
Right. Do you know what the Latin is for left? Sinister.
Raise your eyebrow. Do your eyebrow thing. There you go. And
is that kind of crazy?
Like Family Guy when it's the monkey in the closet?
Sinister. Yes. And right-handed is Dexter.
Well,
what is Poindexter?
I don't know.
Ambidextrous. So my dad used to make me go over to my grandma's, and I had to sit there and have handwriting lessons, cursive writing, and because I started doing this, and it was like, oh, hell no, you know, and had to go over there. And now when I see that, Or people will take the paper if they're left-handed and severely turn it
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So where it's like, so they can still do this, but they're writing. It's wild to watch.
The only way you can really, if I really want to write something long, like the days have passed, but if, like, mm-hmm. if you get a birthday card from me, it mm-hmm. just turns into like, what the fuck? Did he have a stroke in the middle of that? Or like you with the lines on the letter, by the time I get to the zip code, it's just scratch. And I remember one time my father yelling at my mom, like yelling at me with my mom on the phone, like, get him to learn how to write a fucking letter. What did page 2 say?
That's fantastic.
That's
fantastic.
There was no greater skill than finding out. And I can't type, which makes me, but I
was going to say, was it better when the.
Oh, but yeah.
I learned how to type at a very young age. So I mean, handwriting looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just never.
And kids now they have no idea.
And like, I bought one of those Mrs. Brown teaches you how to type computer things.
And no Mavis idea. Beacon.
Mavis Beacon, sure, Mrs. Brown. And it was.
M and a B.
Because me with
same
the
song.
Me with the weird OCD thing. It was Mavis Beacon is the sister from The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept saying, make me a bird so I can fly far away. And I wouldn't type anything. I would just do lines from Color Purple back at her. She would tell
Shocker.
Me the mad cow jumped over the moon, and I would do like, I'm going to climb on top of you and do my business.
You show is ugly, Miss Seeley. Oh,
could not get past it. I was like, we just need a new voice.
That's
because
awesome.
It's the sister from The Color Purple.
Jesus Christ.
I have never heard of that.
What?
And I also don't know how to type.
That's true.
You never bought
Mavis'
typing guide. No. Oh, that'd be the greatest thing to finally learn how to type. And now, because now I type constantly at work,
when
but now I'm a little faster.
Just flying through.
Oh, it just cracks me up.
Oh, I learned it like 8 years old. My mother bought Mavis Beacon while we still had like Windows 3.1. Like we were.
Isn't that what's on here?
No.
Oh.
98.
Oh, sorry.
I just finished listening to last week, and apparently
I don't make
fit
tech
about
comments usually, but you know.
It's fine. I know. It's old.
Oh
and
my
I'm
God,
poor.
Molly!
I have children.
What drugs are you on?
No, it's all good.
But yeah, I was very young and learned how to type, so I type very, very rapidly when I need to.
Well, yeah. Very good. Especially if you're dragging somebody behind your truck.
Well, that's right.
This is not my fault. This is not my fault.
That was before texting. Texting did not
exist. Get off my truck.
No, I'm glad, too, because you were only drunk driving. You weren't texting and drunk driving.
Right, exactly. No, exactly.
I was only loaded.
Dragging the lady weird behind you.
I love that you were dating the lady weird.
I think that's hilarious.
That makes it even better.
You don't even understand.
Now
you
we know how the lady weir and Tara Lipinski went all wrong.
Got it all together.
Pickup truck, a lesbian, sweatpants, and one PlayStation.
I'm appreciated the fact that it was like a jacked up.
Madam Weir, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Madam Weir, she's not old enough.
Lady.
The Empress Dowager Weir.
Oh, Lord. Well, thank you for listening. We are wrapping up just a little over 3 hours of the show on this Tuesday night. Thank you for being with us, everybody from around the world. Thank you all joining us in the chat room. We're with you every week, and you're with us, and I think that's just awesome. Again, applause to Kat Carlson, who has joined us again this week.
Thank you for having me.
Who knows? She might be back next if Katie calls out. She might have an emergency. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll be back again. It's Kat, Marnie, Al, I'm Clayton. Thank you. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.